Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net. Who did you say is listening?
Uganda.
Okay.
Mr. Uganda has tuned in tonight. And sadly, the first thing that we all said was, you think that's real?
And it could be.
It could be. Yeah. Of course it could be.
And of course, later tonight, we'll do the shout-outs to those of you listening in cyberspace.
Mm-hmm.
In your bedrooms.
On your CC radio.
In your car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of that, real quick, what a weird post from a listener who just bought a new car and could not get this radio station on his new car's radio.
And sadly, that is becoming more problematic with some manufacturers. That's one of the reasons for that whole push. I think it was the NAB had a whole push to contact your congressman and say that we really need to keep AM radio, and not just, obviously we have a horse in this race, but yeah, you really need to keep AM radio, because if there is an emergency and the satellites and everybody else goes down,
right,
your friendly local AM radio station is going to give you the local information you need to know in an emergency.
Now, I reread his post and I got the impression that he was looking to just push a button and it would just take him to
the AM band.
Yeah, to the AM band, and then we would be there. But I think he had to do a little fiddling and dialing in. And
yeah, and part of that falls under the read your manual. Because
I mean, you want to turn on the radio, and it's just there.
But more and more manufacturers are making everything. You have to jump through layers and layers of tabs and hoops to get to where you want to be.
And you're lucky if you have a manual. It may be a download this, and you can open it up on your phone, which if you're sitting on the side of the road and you don't have Wi-Fi and you need to check your manual, which is on your phone, that can be a bit of a challenge.
A lot of manufacturers, as we've talked with Tom Appel, a lot of manufacturers have manuals that are embedded in the information in the screen that you have.
What?
But again, you have to... Well, like our car has that.
I didn't know that.
But we also have a hard copy of a manual.
And if you drop it, it will break your foot.
Oh, yeah.
It's the biggest, fattest, scariest thing.
We actually have... How many are there? Well, two main manuals. One is the manual. The other, and the keeper of the big plug, Bob Fukuda, is shaking his
hand to forehead.
But Bob, you can appreciate this. We have the regular "Here's How the Car Works" manual. Then we have the you want to know how the navigation system works? Here's that manual.
And how about your sound system? Here's another manual.
Well, that's kind of a sub. Yes. Sub-tab in the navigation manual.
And if you want to change a tire,
forget it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah,
not going to happen.
Or you want to open your gas door, because they're not all intuitive.
No,
you know,
not at
you're
all.
Looking around going, okay, what do I push? And come to find out that maybe you don't have to push anything. You just walk up to the door and push that. But we learned that our gas door won't open unless the car is turned off.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, it's. Let me think about this.
It's kind of.
I mean, we always turn it off, but there's some other. I have to open the driver's door.
Got to open the door to get the gun. Which I guess is good, because if it just meant that the car was turned off, anybody could walk up and then push the gas door and open it. But no, the door has to be open before you can pop the gas door open. Oh, well.
But that's not what we're going to be talking about tonight. Of course not.
By the way, Bobby and Willowbrook just texted, your music starts and everything really is all right. Thank you. That's sweet.
Oh, well, this, yeah, more and more we need things to be all right.
Yes.
Was it our friend Melissa Foreman, who had a real interesting post on Facebook?
Yes.
Why don't we all meet up and scream?
Yes. And then somebody said, if we do that, could we go to a restaurant afterwards?
And then we'll go get donuts afterwards. So let's have a meet up for a scream, and then we'll go and get donuts.
Let's be friends.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so funny. Well, we have a lot of things to cover tonight.
A little later tonight, we're going to talk with our friend Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau of Chicago.
Yes.
A lot of scams going on. One of them that we were sent, didn't fall for it, but were sent, and boy, does it look real.
Bob, have you received any notifications from the Illinois Tollway?
Like,
via text mainly?
Yeah.
Right? I got an email.
Oh, wow.
And it looks just like the Illinois Tollway system. I mean, they have copied everything.
Yes, down to the picture, the full color picture that the Tollway has at the bottom of their page.
Wow.
And they want you to click on this link. And when you click on this link, they say, well, you know, you owe, so you need to put your credit card number in. Oh, of course, that's after you put in your password to your account.
Of course.
So that, we said, that's something we need to talk about with Steve, because that's a new wrinkle in this whole business of, and apparently.
And that apparently is a nationwide thing.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I saw it on, it was a nationwide story, and I thought, wow, okay, well.
Also, we should mention that next week, we will have a really, 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 really short show that won't start till midnight 30.
Right.
So what we're going to do is, we're going to be here for that hour and a half. That is the night preceding the Oscars. So we're not really going to have a chance to talk about the Oscars then. We're going to talk about the Oscars tonight. And my brother Lee is going to join us.
Yep.
And you can say, well, why your brother Lee? Because nobody, trust me. Not just because he's my brother.
Nobody
knows more about movies than my brother Lee.
That's right. We lovingly call him our movie savant.
He is. In fact, his most recent book was titled Safe Inside, and it's all about the impact that movies have on the main character's life. And Lee has been a movie aficionado from...
For decades.
From birth.
Yeah.
And he's seen just about all the movies, and he regularly writes reviews of movies on his blog. So we'll talk about all that and talk about some of the movies that are up for nominations. And also a little later tonight, we're going to get into cyberspace with Patrick Crispin.
Yep, it's Patrick's night. And we had a couple of people that said, I hope that Patrick will talk about the new iPhone 16.
Yes.
And that is on his list of topics to cover tonight.
And we may not talk at all with Ron, because he was walking down the halls wearing his Cubs shirt.
Cubs won today.
Yeah. Can I just say that I have a dear friend, Bobby, and we have these fun little bets throughout the football season.
Medic to studio A for Bob.
That was me, Coffee.
Oh, no.
throughout the football and baseball season. So he texted me on Friday. He says, you want to bet on the Cubs Sox game? And I said, no, I'll just mail you money. How's that? I don't even need to say, you know, what the score is. They're going to, and sure enough.
The Sox picked up where they left off.
Yeah.
I still have hope for the Sox. I'm still.
It's so early. It's spring training. I mean, basically, they're stretching.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're getting their arms loose on the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, but every time they stretch, they pull something. And then it just is not pretty.
Oh, you are a Sox fan, aren't you?
but what I find fascinating, and what I'm really curious, we recorded the game, and I want to see how this played out. This new thing where they've got the robot umpires, they're testing that out in spring. Apparently, they've done this in some of the minor leagues, and it's being tested out in spring training. And if it works, it will become a part of the official game plan for next season. And as I understand it, it's you still have umpires.
Yes.
But after there is a call, either the batter or the pitcher or the catcher, by tapping their hat, no communication with the manager, can ask for a review. And if they win that challenge, then they keep that challenge. If they lose, they only have two challenges per game, right?
I tuned in the other day when it might have been Mark Harmon said that there had been a tap of the hat by a player, and they looked at it, and the ball became a strike.
Yeah.
Cubs won the first ever challenge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh, so maybe that was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It may work
and
well.
I think they've been doing this for a while, what, in tennis, I believe?
Maybe. But I know this has been used in a minor league before, and I've seen some of the coverage of what they're proposing right now. I have been opposed to all the technological changes in baseball since they started doing them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've grown to appreciate them. And so this one I'm going to withhold judgment. I'm learning as I go and think that this may just work out.
And again, all these changes are because let's speed up the game. Let's speed up. We want people to walk in, give us our money, and walk out.
I do like the fact that it's something as simple as tap your hat, though.
Yeah, if you have the technology to get it right, I'm like, okay, let's get it right. Because I was opposed to instant replay because it's like umpires are very, very good, and sometimes they'll get it wrong, but not very often. But and still, instant replay bears that out when they go back and they challenge. Mm-hmm. It's not all the time that those are overturned. So it really does reinforce that these umpires are very good at their jobs.
Well, I hated the pitch clock, but I've come to like that.
The pitch clock was another one.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, no, right, don't put that kind of pressure on them. And then I realized, well,
I was against it, but now I see 15 seconds is fine.
It kind of moves it along.
So it's frustrating when you're watching a game now and you see those boxes and you see the strike is clearly out of the zone, and they call it a strike. So that's frustrating. So I think this will eventually be a good thing, and everybody will get used to it.
Just be careful if you got a sweaty head. Don't be, tapping your head.
Or if there's a bee around your hand.
You're like, okay, I've got a bee, but I can't do anything.
It's going to happen. You know it is.
It's true. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Are we taking a break? Julian, are we taking a break now, or are we?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. All right, let's take a break.
Okay.
Okay. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
We're all grooving.
Average white band and pick up the pieces. And you can wonder, why are we playing that?
Why are we playing that?
Because it was number one.
Wait, is Ron there?
Ron?
Yeah, right here.
What year do you think? How many years ago? Number one.
I would say 1976.
You're
very close.
On this very day in 1975,
50 years ago.
Yeah, and it still sounds so good and fresh.
That's a great
groove. Oh, my gosh. I was away at college, University of Tennessee, and you just heard this in the dorm over and over and over, which was a blessing because that was a great album. That whole album was terrific, and the album cover was also very good.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Yes. It beat the heck out of the alternative. You went to the neighboring dorm, and it was Jethro Tull, Bungle in the Jungle,
over and over.
You know, and after the 40th or 50th time, that just is, it gets on your nerves.
Jethro Tull will do that to you.
Yes.
But the average white band, that's one of those tracks that I've never grown tired of.
Well, speaking of music, we are going to remember the Iceman tonight.
Jerry Butler.
Yeah, Jerry Butler passed away at 88 years old.
Jerry Butler was a friend of ours, and we'll tell you about some of that later tonight.
Yes, quick story, though. We worked with him on the attempt to get the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Chicago.
Right. Oh.
And it should have been here.
This was, along with Jerry Butler, we were part of Mayor Harold Washington's committee to bring the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the city of Chicago. And
we had money.
We had worked very hard. You and I were two of the people that helped put the proposal together.
Mm-hmm.
We did signings.
Petitions.
At various locations. And we had worked with some of the movers and shakers, And we had $40 million, and it was going to be at Navy Pier
with a recording studio.
And after all this work, and it went on for months and months, and then I don't know how we got the word, but we finally got the word, you know, this is all a publicity stunt. They plan to put it in Cleveland anyway.
Jan Werner always meant for it to go to Cleveland. And this was just to get excitement. Instead, it just ticked us off. Because we made a really, really good case for the Rock Hall of Fame to be in Chicago.
Because we put together a list of the performers from the city of Chicago that were part of the, not just part of rock and roll, but part of the early years of rock and roll.
And Navy Pier would have been perfect.
Yeah.
It would have been beautiful over there.
And, but the Iceman, Jerry Butler, was part of that committee, and we enjoyed working with him.
And we worked with him on stage before.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about some of those wonderful memories. He was a cool dude. He was, and boy, he had his voice.
And he, I just realized as I was thinking about this, and we'll talk about it later, I need to find this. Somewhere there is a tape. Jerry Butler, I've been known to occasionally bring a guitar in. Jerry Butler was responsible for the first time I brought a guitar in and played it on the air.
No kidding.
Oh, that's right. And you performed with him.
Yes.
Yes. And he was sitting back, leaning back in his chair, just as cool as can be, and he just started.
Well, okay, I'll tell a little bit of the story. It was the first time the two of us interviewed him together, because I talked with him at another radio station. But he came in, and after the interview, I forget if he was here talking about, it might have been, trying to get the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Chicago. But he noticed that I had a guitar, and we did He Will Break Your Heart, and he was impressed. In fact, the thing that made him decide to do it was that when he said he wanted to do it in the key of B flat, I said, okay, because I knew how to transpose it. And it was like, whoa. Oh, okay, all right.
So he relaxed.
Yeah,
that was very cool. Well, we have a lot coming up tonight, so we hope that you all will hang out with us on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Jerry Butler, that was back in his early days with Curtis Mayfield singing harmony. And Julian, you should look into Curtis Mayfield's guitar playing. Curtis Mayfield was also playing guitar on that, and he had the most unusual way of tuning his guitar. I don't know exactly what it was, but he made chords the way nobody makes chords because of the way he tuned his guitar, because he never had formal instructions, and yet he had such a unique sound. You can kind of hear, like, I could play the chords for the song, but I couldn't play them the way Curtis Mayfield played them.
So no one's ever documented what he did?
I think somebody has, and I don't remember who and where, but it was a completely different kind of tuning. But that was
interesting.
That was Curtis and Jerry Butler. And,
weren't they childhood friends? They grew up together.
They grew up together, and they were part of the Impressions.
Right.
And the first Impressions hit was For Your Precious Love, which is just one of those doo-wop standards.
Yeah, yeah. And we can't claim Jerry Butler just for Chicago, because I think he was also huge in Philadelphia. I mean, nationwide.
Well, we can claim him as this is where he grew up. This is where he started recording originally for Chicago's VJ Records, and then for Chicago's Mercury Records. And then he worked with Gamble and Huff in Philadelphia to have a lot of his later hits like Western Union Man and things like that.
And Moon River. Oh, my gosh. His version is just beautiful.
In fact, Julian, can you bring up a little bit of Jerry's Moon River?
He was a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, three-time Grammy Award nominee. And, yeah, I was going through the list of the songs that he made popular, and Moon River was always a sad song to me, but the way he sang
his version,
it was...
And the guitar on this, and I don't think it's Curtis playing guitar on this. This is recorded, I believe, at the Universal Studios, either Universal or RCA Studios here in Chicago. And just lay a little of it on us.
Someday, dream maker, you old heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way. To drifters off to see the world, there's such a lot of world to see. We're after the same rainbows, waiting round the bend. My huckleberry friend,
throughout the show tonight, we're going to be playing a lot of Jerry Butler. He was called the Iceman in part because when Jerry first came out, this was during the early days of rock and roll, when Jerry and the Impressions hit, and that was in the days of Elvis and Jerry Lee and people jumping around. Jerry stood there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he moved a foot or an arm, it was a major deal. But he was so cool. He just stood there. He had the voice, and
he didn't have to do anything.
No.
But just sing. And it's so funny because I remember as a kid, every time I heard Moon River, it just made me so incredibly sad. The Andy Williams version.
Sure.
I was like, oh, I don't like that song. And then when I got older and I heard his version, I went, oh, the lyrics are gorgeous, and the guitar is so good on that. I also read recently that as a songwriter, he co-wrote Only the Strong Survive. Mm-hmm. Didn't Elvis do Only the Strong Survive?
Elvis covered it years later.
Okay.
But Jerry's was the first hit with that.
I was really sorry to read that he passed from Parkinson's.
A
horrible, horrible disease.
Yeah. Mm. Throughout the show, we're going to be remembering Jerry Butler, and we have some other things to talk about, and some fairly unique stuff to play a little later, too.
Right, from our time with him on stage.
In fact, I need to there is a reel-to-reel tape of a concert that we have a copy of in our archives, and I need to dig it up at some point, but we'll talk more about that later.
Yes.
So there's the tease.
Okay. You have to stick with us so you find out as this whole thing,
we're just going to be paying tribute to Jerry Butler throughout the show tonight.
Yes. And coming up, we're going to be talking movies with Brother Lee, and it's Patrick's night to talk tech. But Steve Burness is the president and chief executive officer of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois. Hey, Steve Burness. How are
you? Hey, Steve. Good evening. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Well, sure. Before we get to the nitty-gritty of all this business stuff.
Yeah, there's some real important stuff we need to talk to you before all the business stuff.
We haven't talked since your daughter was on Wheel of Fortune.
And won.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
She won $58,000. It was phenomenal. She just went to a zone and never left it.
She was so smooth. Absolutely adorable. I mean, watching her, I thought, okay, somebody should just put her on TV anyway, because she's so adorable and was so calm and so cool. And, of course, you all couldn't give away the fact that she was going to go all the way. So we're like hanging on. And it was amazing.
But right from the get-go, she seemed relaxed.
Yeah.
She was into it. And we kept thinking, no, is she? Yes, she did!
And she's a newlywed too, right?
She's newlywed, exactly.
Oh,
and a new
God.
Baby on the way as well.
Wow!
Too, so.
Congrats! Oh, yeah. Wow.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, having been on a game show like that, I respect anyone that can keep it together. I was on Win, Lose, or Draw, and I didn't even know my name. I literally, Bert Convy looked at me, and I thought, oh, please, God, don't look at me. Please.
Well,
and I was a contestant.
We were out in Los Angeles to do Win, Lose, or Draw. We'd been there for the whole day because they tape a week's worth of shows in one day. So the show Johnny was going to be on was the last one. But we knew the scenario. We knew what was going to happen. And when it gets time to tape, Johnny gets hives.
I had hives. I had to stop everything. And a makeup person had to come out and powder me.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
I was so nervous.
And we're used to doing TV.
And they said, Bert Cummings says, so who's here with you? And I said, my husband. He's the man with the purse.
Because I was holding her purse.
And I was like, what am I doing?
And they had me stand up. I'm stand up holding her purse.
So I see your daughter and I think, oh my gosh, she's so cool. Were you there for the taping of the show?
Yeah, I was in Culver City at Sony Studios.
Oh,
it was really,
cool.
I was more nervous than anybody in the audience, and I actually punched my wife in excitement, and she told me, don't punch her. I mean,
it's so funny.
I was so nervous. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, and Ryan Seacrest is adorable. I mean, he's perfect on the show.
He's terrific on
it. Okay. All right, let's get down to
it. Looks so good, too.
Yeah. Well, again, congratulations. Well, I said to Steve, as the music was playing, I said, oh, wait, we've got to talk about the fact his daughter was a big winner.
But to segue to one of the reasons we wanted to have you on tonight, this particular scam we're going to talk about, we got an email. It looked so real, theoretically, from the state of Illinois.
Right.
And about, you haven't paid your toll. And
in fact, it said that I had missed a toll last Saturday night when we were on the radio. So immediately that red flagged it. And then I started looking into where did it come from, even though it looks so authentic. And when you dig down deep, it did not come from the state of Illinois. So I said, we've got to talk about this. And then come to find out, Steve, is it true that these unpaid toll texts are a nationwide scam?
Emails.
Emails, too, yeah.
Yes, they're emails and texts, exactly. It's a nationwide problem. The Better Business Bureau's scam tracker has really, in the last few weeks, lit up tremendously on this particular scam. My wife got it yesterday. I got it yesterday as well.
Wow.
And it gives you that you have to pay within 12 hours or the fees will be increased. So they kind of put a pressure on you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the DMV as well. But it's happening. People are clicking on it. Unfortunately, the scammers, put the URL. It kind of looks like a little bit of a URL from the DMV, but it's actually not. So we always advise consumers of the Better Business Bureau, don't click on any links, especially if it's coming from somebody that tells you owe money or you got to do something quickly and 30 minutes, 12 hours, whatever it may be, and that's the tip-off, the rip-off on that one.
Well,
do we know where this is coming from? Since it's a nationwide thing, is it all originating from the same place?
They can't really tell. Some of it's coming offshore as well from other countries, so they're just throwing all these texts out there and just throwing everything at the wall and sees what sticks and who clicks on those links, and we just tell consumers, please don't click on those links. Even if you think it's your bank or your credit card company or whatever, call them or go to their website directly. because you click on those links, what can happen, you can put spam or malware on your phone or your laptop, and they can, you know, hold it hostage. They can, you know, delete files. The police department in the south suburbs about, you know, 8-9 years ago, they had to pay the ransomware. And I knew a law firm late last year that had to pay $1 million to get their files back from the scammers. So it happens to a lot of organizations, businesses, and consumers both.
So again, to make people aware how important it is to think and not click. When you click, you could lose everything on your phone. You could, it could be even more subtle than that. It could say, now to pay your late fee, you need to put in your credit card number. So now that's gone. I mean, there are probably a number of ways that they go about getting people. Another one might be you need to sign into your account. So now you've given them your password. Oh, gosh.
But as Steve
some
says,
are asking for social security numbers, too. So that's really alarming.
Oh, gosh.
Because once they have that information, they can use it to steal your identity, which is still the fastest growing white collar crime today.
Yeah.
And never, ever, ever give your social security number. And as Steve says, anytime somebody is pressuring you, you have to do this quickly. No, that should be, oh boy, is that a red flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Even the utility, fake utility, you know, saying they're calling up and saying that you're going to shut your electricity off because you missed a bill. If you don't pay in a half hour, your electricity is going to be turned off. The government doesn't do that. You know, ComEd, People's Gas, NICOR, they don't do that. Nobody threatens you to do something quickly, or some of them are being so bold, they're saying you're going to be deported if you don't pay your taxes to the IRS. And sometimes the caller ID will say, you know, IRS on it, because that can be still being manipulated by the scammers. It's a simple program. They can change that. The FCC hasn't finalized the fixing of that part yet. So it's just alarming the amount of scams out there. And I've been doing this for 37 years, as you know. So it's nothing amazes me anymore. And the reason it continues is because the people keep clicking on those links or falling for those scams. And the only way to put scams out of business is not to give them your business, because there's not enough law enforcement to take care of you or help you. Courts, police, nobody's going to help you. You got to help yourself.
And Steve, isn't it safe to say that if you were to click on that and you get taken over, really, nobody can help you out? I mean, heaven forbid you take it to Facebook and you post on Facebook this has happened to you, because then a whole new group of scammers come out of the woodwork and say, you know, contact me here. I'll get you out of this bind. And I'm like, oh, stop now.
But isn't that a good reason to freeze your credit?
It is a good reason to always freeze your credit. It's really simple. It's easily done. And people, that word kind of scares people. It doesn't do anything except prevent somebody else from opening an account in your name. And when you want to buy a house or use your credit, you just unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all explained on annualcreditreport.com. That's the website. You should check your credit report at least once a month, if not more. It used to be they charge you for it. It's no charge now at all, and doesn't affect your credit rating at all, no matter how many times you check it. Even children's IDs, credit reports should be locked and frozen. And I think the parents don't realize that children's identities can be stolen as well.
And we just had an occasion this past week where there was something that we needed to okay, and it was literally as simple as, okay, the company that froze your credit report, they're going to send you a text with a confirmation number. You do this and you unfreeze this only for this transaction for a matter of minutes.
Yes.
And it was that simple.
It is very simple, very easily, and it's free of charge. And I think most consumers are not even aware you can freeze your credit report. And it really is very helpful. If you need it, you just unfreeze it quickly and freeze it right back up. You know.
Well, you mentioned that children and their history can then become compromised. Deceased people's history can become compromised. I had something came across my desk the other day, and I looked at it and I thought, well, that looks very odd. I haven't heard anything about my father, who passed away 3 years ago, and there was his name, and it was a utility company, and I contacted them, and come to find out, they claimed that somebody had his Social Security number. And I said, whoa, how did this happen? And this was Commonwealth Edison. And they said, I was talking to the fraud department, and they said, well, we're going to stop it right down. We're going to take care of this. And it was a many $100 bill that just came out of the blue. And I thought, whoa, that is really weird. And so they were looking for the person who needed to pay this bill. And who did they go to? The person related to that Social Security number, even though he's deceased. And I thought, how
does it happens all the time.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So let me hold you on this for a second, because we were talking about this, and maybe you have the definitive answer. When someone passes away, is their Social Security number ever reused?
No, it's never reused, so you don't have to worry about that. You just got to make sure you lock down everything and let the Social Security Administration know that the person is deceased and things of that nature. But they still try, the scammers, the thieves, look at the obituaries and they kind of contact the next of person and say they owe money, their bill's not paid, and people are usually sometimes one of the spouses is not familiar with paying the bills. The other person that deceased was. So they said, well, maybe he did or maybe she did. They pay that bill because they think it's legitimate. And somebody calls you, tells you, demanding payment on a bill or outstanding, they have to legally send you verification of that debt first before you can do anything. So just don't pay it. Ask for a copy of it, and then you can do your homework or due diligence on it before paying it. Don't pay it because they say you owe it.
The reason I asked you if the Social Security Administration ever reuses Social Security numbers, because the person Johnny was talking to from ComEd said, oh, they must have reassigned your dad's Social Security number to someone else. So even ComEd was thinking, oh, well, they probably just have the same Social Security number.
And I questioned it, but the bottom line was, she says, we're going to make this go away, and you know, now the ball is in your court. You're not going to have to pay anything, blah, blah, blah. But I hung up the phone thinking, well, that just shouldn't be. No one else should have that number. And it shouldn't just be kind of like a, well, yeah, you know, that happens all the time. No, it doesn't happen all the time. So, again, red flags. We got a lot more ground to cover with Steve Burness. We're going to take a break and be right back here on WGN.
Wife and I are fussing, brother, that's all right. 'Cause me and that pretty woman's got a license to fight. Why don't you mind your own business? Why don't you mind your own business? 'Cause if you mind your own business, then you won't be minding mine.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're minding business with the man who is the head of the Chicago Better Business Bureau.
There's business and there's bidness.
That's true.
And you got to mind your own bidness and it'll be a better world. And Steve, before we get into tax time scams, Dave says, Steve, can you tell me from the Better Business Bureau, if I freeze my credit, do I have to contact all three credit bureaus?
We did.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to. Yes. Yes. And it's all explained on annualcreditreport.com, how to freeze and unfreeze everything. And it's all explained there. Don't go on any other website. No jingles. Whatever site you want to go there, go directly to that site. Don't follow any links.
Yeah, we had originally been dealing with a site that said, okay, we'll take care of all this. And we just didn't like the way they were doing it, so we wound up going to each of the individual credit reporting places ourselves.
And honestly, it was time-consuming because we did it as a couple, and then we did it individually. Because I thought, just to be super safe, let's do the Steve credit, and let's do my credit, and then we do it as a couple. I don't think
basically, rather than doing three credit reports, we wound up doing nine freezes.
That wasn't overkill, was it?
No, never an overkill on that, because identity theft is rampant in all walks of life. It's no matter where you look, there's always somebody trying to steal your identity.
Well, just before the news, we were commenting on Social Security numbers, and isn't that one of the key ways during tax time that people get scammed? It's with their Social Security number, right?
It is, because that's how they file the tax return on your behalf, so people don't think they can happen. It does happen all the time. The last numbers the IRS has given out is in 2023, consumers lost to the IRS $5.5 billion in tax fraud.
Wow.
And it's just it just keeps growing. I hate to see what 2024 numbers are, and we're hearing from consumers who are having problems filing the returns because somebody else has filed on their behalf. So, you know, that when somebody gets your Social Security number, they usually have more information about you, and that's one of the key things they need, unfortunately, to you know, file tax on your return. And your Social Security number can be, you know, in breaches. It can happen anywhere. So people say, well, I never gave it to anybody. Well, mm-hmm. There's breaches that happen every single day. Some of them you hear about, some you don't. Some businesses tell people, some don't. And that's why sometimes you can't prevent it. You just got to be proactive in ways of stopping it, like freezing your credit and things of that nature. And also the IRS allows what's called an IP PIN. And if you're a victim of identity theft in any way, before you can file to get an IP PIN, which kind of locks down your tax of forms and filing. So they give you a number, that one's a six-digit number. And only you and the IRS have it. And in order to file a return, you have to use an IP PIN number. It's all explained on IRS.gov. So if anybody has their identity stolen or don't want it to be stolen through the IRS, please get an IP PIN.
Interesting. So that's just another step you have to take once you have been the victim of identity theft, because eventually you're going to have to file your taxes. So you need to go ahead and get that number from the IRS.
Correct.
Wow.
And they give you a six-digit number as well. But, you know, some consumers are being proactive in contacting them and getting an IP PIN without being a victim of identity theft, because identity theft is not a matter of if. It's a matter of when you'll be, you know, a victim of it. I've been a victim of it. Former Attorney General Lisa Madigan has been a victim of identity theft. You just can't get away from it. It's just continuing all across the globe. It's not just a national problem. It's happening all over identity theft, all across the globe.
You don't know that you have this kind of power, but every single time you say, it's not a question of if, it's when, yeah. I get a chill. I'm like, oh, please don't say that.
I can see Johnny physically reacting to this every time you say it, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yep.
All right. So a listener sent a message and said, when it comes to going to the, and this has happened to me before, and I've challenged at the doctor's office. She said, I went to the doctor's office. They give you that form to fill out. Old-fashioned way, a clipboard and a pen. Doesn't that still happen? Which blows my mind.
And by the way, why is it every single time you go to the doctor's office, even though you filled out this form before, oh, we've changed our computer system, so you have to fill out everything again. What?
And there's that line for your Social Security number. So Linda says, do you have to put that down there?
Some doctors require, some offices rather require it, but
yeah.
Legally, you are not legally required to give your Social Security number to a doctor. However, some doctors, you know, will ask you to verify your identity in processing payments. I think the American Medical Association discourages using Social Security numbers unless required by law. So,
I think really, from now on, I'm going to say, if you want my Social Security number, tell the doctor to give me his.
Right.
Then we'll talk.
Right, exactly.
Well, you feel so helpless, though, because, and I know this has happened to me before, and I actually said, this was years ago, but I said to the office manager, I said, okay, let me give it to you, and you give me that paper back when you're done, because I do not want it to go into a dumpster somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, okay, yeah. Fine. So she inputted it sitting at the computer and then handed me the paper back.
And that's fine until their system is hacked. Yep.
That's right.
Exactly. It's being hacked in some way or some other system will be hacked to get into that system. It's just nonstop.
But from what you've said, I think it's legit for you to stand there and to be pleasant and say, no, I don't feel comfortable doing this. It's not required by law. If you need me to talk to your office manager, let's do that. But I'm just not going to give you my Social Security number because I don't know where it's going to end up.
Right, but you can be denied, you know, service too by that business. So
yeah.
They're not obligated to take you as a patient either. So
yeah.
You got to be careful on that situation because, you know, there's no requirement that you have to give it, but it could be their requirement. And that's unfortunately what it usually happens is they don't provide services or won't go further with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think my response would be, okay, if you're going to deny me service, I will deny you my money.
Right.
So there we go.
Right.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
I don't know that we've ever asked you about this, Steve, but with all the safety precautions we talk about, freezing your credit, not clicking on links and things like that, is there anything that you do on a regular basis that we should do to find out, has my identity been compromised? Is my credit attempting to be accessed? Is there any website or place that you would suggest people go to sort of monitor on a regular basis how their identity is being protected?
Yeah, the one thing is annualcreditreport.com. That's usually the first way of determining if an account is open up in your name or your child's name, mm-hmm. and to see, to monitor that. But a lot of times we ask consumers to do is for your banking and your credit cards is have those automatic notifications texted to you.
Yes.
So if somebody does have access to your account, you have, they'll notify you that, you know, I had mine set to, I think, $10. So anything over $10, it notifies me that a charge has been placed on my account. So there's a lot of stuff that each financial institution will help you with identity theft. Everyone is different, so I can't say do this, do that, but contact them. You know, like two-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be on those, on when you log into a website. You should ask for that to be turned on. That could protect you from somebody getting into your accounts. This way, it's going to text you and ask you for the code that it's text you in order to get into that account.
Right.
So there's so many things, but contact the financial institution or the whatever company you're dealing with, bank, you know, whatever it may be. Just make sure that you have all your services turned on and make it a little bit more difficult for somebody to take your identity or break into your account.
And even with utility companies, you can set up two-factor authentication.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you want to check what your bill is, they're going to send you a text. They're going to send you that text that has a code, and that's going to prove that it's you and that it's okay for you to look at that account. And
it's a little bit inconvenient, but
yeah.
It's so well worth it, Johnny, because I have it set up on all my accounts as well. You feel so much comfortable knowing that you can't get into a system without getting a text and putting that code. And if somebody calls you up saying they want that code from that text, that is the scam. That is the tip-off to rip-off. Nobody needs that code that was texted to you, not the company, not the bank, not the IRS. So it could be somebody trying to open an account in your name. They may send you a text, oh, send me that code number. I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to help you. They're going to steal money from you.
Absolutely.
And is it a little bit of a pain to deal with the two-factor authentication? Yeah, but it's a whole lot less painful than dealing with your identity being stolen.
Right, because your identity stolen could take, you know, 4 years. I hear people, you know, give us horror stories. It doesn't happen to everybody, but it can take a long time to clean up your credit report and your credit, and it could take 4 years. And just simply turning on a 30-second more notice on the two-factor, mm-hmm. You're in the driver's seat on that then.
Mm-hmm. Are you hearing much, before we let you go, it just dawned on me that there's,
sure.
I'm hearing more and more from friends about check washing. We know of three people who've been victims of check washing. Are you hearing that at the Better Business Bureau?
Yeah, we are continuously hearing that more and more, and people, you know, really have to buy that indelible ink pen.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
one that you can't wash. And you just go to any convenience store and ask for the indelible ink. And it's best to go to the post office and drop your mail off, too. Don't put it in a box. Those people have keys to those boxes. It's safe. It's better to do everything online now, to be honest with you. It's so safe out there. You set up all the security measures, mailing those checks. A lot of doctor's offices is still mind-boggling. They use that special blue envelope,
mm-hmm.
you know, for payments, you know. And it's like, this is screaming, steal me.
Yes.
I got a check inside, you know, or Christmas cards are stolen because there's cash or checks inside.
Right.
And I don't know if we told you, but when we recently did, instead of getting business cards, we got pens that have our names and contact information. And we specifically asked them to put that indelible ink on our pen so we can write checks and they won't be washed
and
because
everybody
that's the kind of ink we
have. Well, if you give you a pen, we're going to say, and by the way, this pen is safe for you to write checks. If you want to give me a check, go right ahead.
Exactly.
And some people are old school. I mean, I still enjoy writing a check. I like writing a check for gifts. And that was how a neighbor was burned, because she actually wrote a $100 check for a relative's wedding present. And when she found out that it was turned into $10,000,
mm-hmm.
that $100 was turned into $10,000. It was a major terrifying experience for her, because she thought, am I going to have to come up with that $10,000? Is the bank going to help me with this? And ultimately, it was all worked out, but it wasn't simple.
Yeah, the banks will help you, but the concern is that they're going to lock your account down while they do the investigation, so you don't have access to pay your mortgage or anything like that. So you got to be very extremely careful with checks, and please use the Indelible Ink and take it to the post office. Don't put it in the mailbox.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you guys don't take anything from this, remember from the start of our conversation with Steve, do not ever, ever, ever click on links that come to you in a text or in an email. And just slow down, think, because there are so many bad people out there that are so good at what they're doing. I'm telling you, this Illinois Tollway email is so authentic looking. I think if I showed it to the Illinois Tollway, they would be shocked at how good it looks.
And if the email or text is something that, that tries to make you act quickly because you're getting nervous, that should be a huge red flag. Slow down, slow down.
Absolutely.
And also, tell us about the scams. Go to the Better Business. We have a scam tracker, and this is where we get information on all of these scams. And you can look at it yourself. If you get a ComEd bill or somebody calls you from ComEd, you'll see, you know, what the scammers are trying to do. So you can be part of that, to helping other consumers out. A lot of people say, I'm not going to, nobody will fall for it. Yes, they will fall for it. So go to bbb.org/scam tracker. Put information about the scam, and we can put a phone number in, and we can tell you all across the globe where that phone number is associated with, and then it helps the authorities go after these individuals as well. And so everything's on bbb.org, and you could also find a business that you can trust. So if you're looking for a good business, a roofer, waterproofer, you go to bbb.org and get a list of anybody in your area that's BBB accredited, and they get that seal, which is the sign of a better business.
Absolutely. Steve, thank you. As always, it's a pleasure to catch up with you. It's frustrating because there's so much stuff to talk about, but I'm glad that you're there to answer our questions. Thanks, Steve.
And again, tell your daughter congratulations.
Yes.
I will.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel. It's so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be so lonely. I could die.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Now, you can be saying to yourself, why are they playing Elvis?
Why? Why? Oh, why?
Well, boys and girls.
Well, actually, you should ask our number one Elvis fan in the newsroom.
Yeah, Ron, do you know why are we playing Elvis?
I don't know. I'm on the edge of my seat here.
It were on this date, back in 1956, that Heartbreak Hotel entered the charts.
Wow.
And actually, wasn't that the first time that Elvis entered the charts?
No. It was the first time that he had a major record enter the charts, but his first chart entry was actually one of the Sun records, and I'm trying to think if it was, I think it was Mystery Train. May have been but that was on the lower reaches of the charts, and that may have been mostly regional, but this was the first time that Elvis entered the national charts.
On RCA Victor, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing Elvis, I was watching with my mom. It was an old RCA 9-inch round television screen. Watching Elvis on the Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey stage show.
Was he like an inch tall?
Introduce Heartbreak Hotel.
It would be so tiny.
Yeah.
Did you scoot up real close to the TV?
But that was high tech back in the day.
A 9-inch TV? That's like a little bit larger than my cell phone.
Yeah.
And yet it was a big cabinet too, right?
Oh, it was a huge cabinet.
Golly.
Wow.
And we thought we were high tech when we got this. It was like a magnifying thing that you put on the front.
Oh, stop.
Literally, you fastened it on the front of the TV. And you could also, there was a screen thing you could put out that would simulate colors. I mean, we were so high tech.
Oh, my. When did you get your first TV, Ron?
Geez, we had a TV since I was born. But
really?
Yeah. But the first color TV, geez, that took quite a while. That was until I was about 13 or 14.
Oh, man.
Because our first TV was somewhere probably late 40s, early 50s, because my dad, who worked during the day at Southwork Steel on the South Side, at night he had a TV radio repair business. and he had repaired this one guy's TV, and there was an older TV, and the guy said, well, if you want to take this one, and if you can fix it, it's yours. So my dad did, and that was our first TV.
And we still have this gigantic suitcase that's so heavy, and when you open it up, believe it or not, it's a tube tester.
My dad built his own tube tester from the, it was a Sam's radio kit that he got from back in the day when it was Allied Radio Shack.
So he would actually take that to houses when he was repairing TVs, and he could test the...
Yep.
That's pretty cool technology, if you think about that.
Like I said, we were high tech.
I know you were, because, you know, until wrestling became a thing in our house, we didn't have a TV, because everybody went down the street to watch, you know, the neighbor's TV, because it was okay, because they were lucky they had a TV, and wrestling was the incentive to pop for a TV.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman, the WGN Radio. And that music is one of two things. That is either the Academy Awards theme, or it is the music that my brother Lee insists be played every time he enters the room. I'm not sure which...
That's great walk-up music right there.
Well, when you're walking from the kitchen to the living room, it's a little much. Hi, Lee.
Hi. Good evening.
And I should back up and explain. We're going to be talking about the Academy Awards. And one of the reasons we're doing that is because next week we have a short show. We're not going to be starting until 12:30. We are going to be here live, but it's just going to be a short show. The Oscars are next week. So we want to spend some time talking about them this week. And I can think, not just because he's my brother, but I can think of no one better to talk about movies with than my brother Lee. If you want to get a sample of what I'm talking about, you should go to Eckhart's Press and look up the book Safe Inside, which is all about movies and their impact on someone who was, as they were growing up and into adult life. And it's a memoir-ish book. And it's a wonderful book, but also it will give you an idea of how movies have impacted the lives of a lot of people. And Lee, you've been a movie savant from day one.
In fact, I don't think
in the crib, I think.
What was the very first movie you saw in a movie theater?
I'm looking at a poster for it right now. It was The Bad Man. Wallace Beery and Ronald Reagan.
Did you see it at the Avalon?
No, at the Capitol Theater.
The Capitol. Okay. And how old were you when you saw that?
4. They were testing me out.
Wow. So you said, this is good. I'm in a dark place. I can get completely lost in this beautiful big screen. And the rest is history. As we said last week, I mean, we're talking decades that you have just sucked up all kinds of movie information. I am constantly amazed at your off-the-top-of-your-head knowledge. So you join us tonight to show off yet again, right?
And we will be posting links on our Facebook page to Lee's blog, where he has reviewed some of the Oscar-nominated movies, and also links to Eckhart's Press, where you could buy Lee's book.
So have you seen all the movies that have been nominated this year, or are you en route to doing that?
All but one. I really tried to see I'm Still Here. Mm-hmm. I would have bought it, but they haven't released it yet, and I wasn't able to stream it. Friends of mine in New York saw it. They loved it and said that she was terrific.
And she
but
is.
I've seen all the others. And before we proceed, mm-hmm. I'd like to give a shout out to our little cousin Ellis. He's a big fan of Dog Man, and I promised him I'd tell people to go see the Dog Man movie. And it's a pity it didn't come out sooner, because this is certainly a year in which the Academy decided to recognize dogs.
Oh, ouch.
Hi, Ellis.
He'll love that. But back to the movie that you haven't seen. You said she is getting good reviews. Who is the she?
Fernanda Torres. Her mother, years ago, she's Brazilian.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother was nominated for Best Actress some years ago. And it's based on a true story. I did see the preview, and it looked very promising.
Hmm. Can we start with a movie that brought about a side of you that we rarely see? When I talked to you last week, you were sputtering. You were actually on the verge of being angry about the time you had spent watching a particular movie that has been nominated for a number of awards.
In fact, you said if it wasn't for the fact that you were watching it streaming, if you were watching it in a theater, you would have walked out, which you have never done. And the fascinating thing was when we teased about this, and there were texts like crazy with people correctly saying what the movie was. So what was the movie?
We must be talking about The Substance.
Yes.
And I've lived a long time, and never in my entire life have I seen a movie as disgusting and loathsome as The Substance. It's as though it was made by a 14-year-old boy who wanted to see if he could make the entire audience throw up simultaneously.
Boy, that would look good on the video box. Loathsome.
Yeah, there's the review.
Loathsome. Was it just so bloody, so just gory?
Yes, and slimy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a decent horror movie to be made out of this. I mean, they took the same subject matter in 1966 when they made Seconds with Rock Hudson, one of his best performances. Somebody makes a Faustian bargain to try to get a second chance at youth. But the last half hour of this, it just jumps the shark into cloud cuckoo land, and it doesn't know when to end. And as far as Demi Moore, I know why she's nominated. She's a very attractive woman, and she let herself be made up to look haggard and disgusting, and people sometimes say, "Ooh, what acting!" But I just say, "Ooh, what makeup!"
Mm-hmm. And she won a Golden Globe, and sometimes that is kind of the precursor to the Oscars. She did give a wonderful speech at the Golden Globes, and yes, she looks fantastic to be 60-something.
Yep.
But your review by phone the other day—that was it. I thought, no, I'm not going to waste my time watching this. This is—it's crazy time. Do you think it's going to win for her again?
I do. I do. At which point, I will need a stiff adult beverage.
Okay, Ron Brown's in the news.
That chortling you hear, that's Ron Brown. Ron, you want to jump in on this?
I agree with everything he said. It's a mystery to me. I think the reviewers were reviewing like the concept of the screenplay rather than the movie itself, you know, because it's a pro-feminist movie, and it just doesn't come across as a film that way. It comes across as a screenplay, the great reviews, but the movie itself is pretty... Yeah, it's mediocre at best, like a B movie with an all star cast. You know, Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley are fantastic actresses, but they're just wasted. It's like a B drive-in movie.
Okay, that goes on the box, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, wow, I'm going to rush out and see this right away.
And I hope that as much as, you know, I like Demi Moore, I hope she doesn't win an Oscar for this because it would be just a gift. Mm. There are other actresses in that category who are much more deserving. One of them, Mikey Madison, just won another one tonight for the Spirit Awards for independent films, and she's been on a roll. So that might be a surprise, and I would love it if that happened.
Yeah, the independent films kind of give you a sense of where the Academy will go, but I think Golden Globes historically have been the, if you win a Globe, then it's kind of assuring that you're going
to... Well, they kind of like to give it to celebrities. You know, they like celebrities, the Hollywood foreign press. Mikey Madison has won tonight the Spirit Award, but she's won the Producers Guild Award, the Directors Guild Award, you know, for acting. She won the BAFTA Award for Best Actress. So it's not going unnoticed, but you know, if they're going to give Demi Moore...
She also won a BAFTA.
Yeah, and a BAFTA. So if they're going to give an Academy Award to Demi Moore... Okay, but it's a gift. I mean, they gave Art Carney, you know, an Oscar. So, you know, sometimes it happens, and it's like, okay, go ahead.
Lee, do you remember screaming when Art Carney won his Oscar?
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's Hollywood sometimes.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and we're talking Oscars. Yes, the Oscars are the 2nd of March. And we have a short show the night before. That's why we've got Lee on the radio tonight talking about movies. A lot of them are going to be streaming just in time for the Oscars. But, of course, if they win, then you're going to have a better chance of seeing a lot of these movies at your neighborhood theater. So stay with us here on WGN.
It's never too late for a wide open slate, a kiss from a stranger, a thousand first dates. You're an Iron Man, baby, to hell with heaven's gate. There's not a moment too soon if it's never too late. Oh, it's never too late. Go shoot out the moon. We'll go dancing in graveyards. You can keep your balloon.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking movies. We're talking the Academy Awards. And as we talk about the Academy Awards, we're going to be playing some of the nominees for Best Original Song. What you just heard was Never Too Late from the documentary movie Elton John, Never Too Late, and that was Elton John and Brandi Carlile.
Mm-hmm. Elton John sounding an awful lot like Elton John, but a little quivery.
And as I understand, in fact, what was we were watching? Was it on Graham Norton or on Stephen Colbert? The interview with Elton John. Mm-hmm. Brandi Carlile was there with him, and apparently she was at his house, and he said that somebody said the phrase. He had the idea to write the song, and the two of them then recorded it, and it's in the documentary, and it's now nominated.
Lee, have you heard how they're going to present the songs that are nominated for Oscars?
Yes, I heard they're not going to present them. They're just going to talk about them.
Yes.
I don't get that.
That's crazy time. We need a little music, and sometimes there are moments, whether you like Gaga or not, but that moment with Bradley Cooper, sitting at the piano was like, oh, wow, I need more of that. I don't even know how they're going to talk, quote-unquote talk, about the songs that were nominated as opposed to performing the songs.
Yeah, and remember last year's highlight was I'm Just Ken, the Ryan Gosling song.
That was
a showstopper.
That was fabulous.
People leapt out of their chairs.
Yes.
It's okay. Just a wrong move.
Let me take you in a different direction. Let me kind of cut to the chase. One of the movies that has received a lot of buzz that both of you, I think, have strong opinions about is The Brutalist. Lee, let me start with you. I believe you said The Brutalist may have been the best movie you saw this year.
Yes, it was. And I just felt right from the first shot that I was in good hands, and the story was I'm aware of the issue about AI tinkering with our accents, and I thought about that, but I think it's just a tiny part of the performances, and the performances were quite good. It's a very long movie with a merciful intermission, so it I don't think it bothers me.
Well, Brady Corbett, the director, remember at the Golden Globes, he said that he was basically told that the movie was undistributable because it was 3.5 hours long. And I find that that seems to be the thing, that if people don't like it, they'll just say, oh, it's too long. Well, okay, but what about the acting? What about the story? Oh, it's just too long. I hear John Williams talking about it. It's just too long.
Well, and there are people these days who will sit and binge watch on their couch for 6 hours or more at a show. So if the movie is good...
Watch it at home.
Yeah. If the movie is good, the story is good and compelling, and this is... It's going to draw you in, and it's going to hold your interest. I mean, if it's not, it's not. I mean, I thought The Substance was too long. because after first 10 minutes, it's just like, oh, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
It went from ridiculous to bad.
So,
Ron, would you agree with Lee? Was this your favorite movie?
Well, it is, but they're so different. The difference between Anora and The Brutalist and A Complete Unknown, there's so three different styles, and all three of them are done so well. But yeah, I saw The Brutalist, and I went, I'm okay if that's the best picture. That's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lee, your
favorite. What did you think of Nickel Boys?
I did not like the point of view shooting. I liked the story. I didn't like the acting, and the point of view is it was just offsetting or off-putting to me. I didn't care for that.
Yeah, I thought it was a challenging watch. Had it been a more conventionally made movie, mm-hmm. I think I'd have been crying by the end of it, but I wasn't.
Yeah, it drew attention to itself in the filmmaking. It didn't add anything extra to it. It was gimmicky, and I was glad when they got rid of it.
So it kind of takes you out of the moment.
For me, it did, but yeah.
Now, I'm curious, and let me start with Lee first. Brutalist, your favorite movie, do you think it's going to win for Best Picture?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Ron, you agree?
It's hard to predict. I mean, it could. It would be well-deserved. But I think Anora is sneaking up there, and a lot of people seem to love it. And I'm one of those, too. I love it for... that's why it's so hard. If you pick one, Anora or The Brutalist, they're both, for their own styles and successes, deserving.
And Anora won the Independent Film Award tonight.
Yes.
So it's racking up more.
Well, I'm afraid that's where we part company. To me, it would be better titled Annoya. I found the characters so unlikable, so tiresome, and by the end of the movie, you get a few minutes of actual poignancy, and I really did like the Russian thug, very well played. But I was ready for that to end long before it did.
Now, did you see that in the theater, or did you stream that at home?
I screened it at home.
Yeah, I sometimes think that seeing a movie in a movie theater will give you
a different perspective, just to see how the audience reacts.
Well, you
to
get
the movie.
Caught up in the fact that you have made the effort to be out of your house to see something. I don't know. To me, it's always carried a little bit more weight if I see it in a theater.
And one of the movies that comes to mind, I will never forget the night that you and I went to an advanced screening of the Michael Keaton first Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all over that because of I've been a Batman geek forever. But the reaction of the audience to things that happened in that movie amplified my reaction to the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee, if you will sit tight, we're going to take a break.
Or hang loose.
Hang loose. We're talking movies with Brother Lee here on WGN, so stay with us.
All the times you thought you'd never make it through, felt just like the world just turned its back on you, didn't stop you. All the times you could have given in and given up, times you didn't know if you were strong enough, still you got through. Somehow it's all part of the plan, the journey.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking Academy Awards, and throughout the Academy Awards, we're playing some of the songs that are nominated for Best Original Song. And this is, I love this. This is H.E.R., The Journey, from the 6888, which is, it looks like a fascinating movie.
Tyler Perry movie that's not getting very much play, and it's based on the true story of the black female battalion in World War II, and their battalion number was 6888. And the video with the song is terrific, but I looked everywhere and I couldn't find the movie playing anyplace. So it's kind of weird. It's
probably a streaming-only movie.
I think it's a Netflix movie.
Yeah. Okay.
But I, just from what I've seen in the previews, I want to see this. It looks really, really interesting.
Yeah. But we figured everybody knew the songs from Wicked, and everybody knows the Bob Dylan songs by Timothée Chalamet, so we play some of the songs that will be talked about during the Oscars, but you probably won't actually hear them. Our guest is Lee Kingsmill. He knows all about movies, and we like to get him on the radio so we can pick his brains about these things. And we get to watch the Oscars with Lee for the first time ever next week. I don't know if he's as excited as we are, but...
If you want to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you will see that we posted a link to Lee's book at Eckhart's Press. So if you'd like to see more about the book is called Safe Inside. It's a terrific book. And I say that not just because he's my brother, but it's a terrific book.
It is.
And it gives a lot of background on why Lee is as enamored of movies as he is, and how movies impact a whole lot of people.
Lee, let's just roll through some of the categories so we don't run out of time. Like actor in leading role, we got Adrian Brody for The Brutalist and Timothée Chalamet.
I think he's got that locked up.
Really?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking Timothée Chalamet has a lot of buzz about him. But with you, I think it's got to be Adrian Brody. Coleman Domingo, I've seen him in so many talk shows. He's delightful. I think he's wonderful. He's great in the movie Sing, Sing, Sing.
He was so good in Sing, Sing, yes.
And Ralph Fiennes and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice are also. So it's an interesting category of actor. But you think, hands down, it's going to be Brody?
Yes, I do.
And he would be your choice out of these.
Yes, he would. He would.
Okay. Ron, you agree?
Again, they're so different. The Adrian Brody and Timothée Chalamet, they're such different performances.
Mm-hmm.
And Ralph Fiennes is fantastic. Any three of those, I'm fine with those winning it. But I do agree that Adrian Brody is the odds-on favorite to win.
So the actor in a supporting role, I'm thinking... Just from what I'm reading, I haven't seen the movie A Real Pain. Lee?
You should. You should see it as soon as you can. Kieran Culkin is an absolute delight in that movie, and I really think he's going to take it.
Hmm. And I was a little surprised. I had missed that Edward Norton was nominated for A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce, Jeremy Strong, Ron, you're Kieran Culkin as well.
Yeah, he was wonderful, and I would love to see. It seemed like he was playing himself. It seemed like the role was written for him.
Yes,
and because he's much like the character that he played in Succession, and he's just great at it. And yeah, he'll make you laugh and cry.
Well, Jesse Eisenberg is a real talent. I mean, it's like all of a sudden he just kind of blossomed with this movie.
He may win for best screenplay.
Yeah.
That would be nice to see.
Yeah.
Okay, actress in a leading role. We've got Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, Mickey Madison for Anora, Demi Moore for The Substance, and Fernanda Torres from I'm Still Here.
Have we decided that it looks like it's going to be Demi Moore in that category, Lee?
I think it probably will be, yes. I'd rather see anybody else in the category take it.
Okay, who would be your, if not Demi, who would your favorite be in that category?
Well, I think sight unseen, just having seen the preview, I'd say Fernanda Torres.
I'm still here. Ron, did you have any luck finding the movie I'm Still Here?
Yeah, I saw that at the theater, and I enjoyed it. It's a great performance. I don't think it's the best performance. I still like Mikey Madison for my favorite in there. And I think that she has a long shot of winning. I do think that it's Demi Moore's to lose. Hollywood loves her. So,
well, I found I'm Still Here only at one theater, the Davis Theater, and I was pleasantly surprised that this Davis was running first run movies.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Which theater did you see it at, Ron?
I saw it down here, right across the street on Illinois Street at 21 AMC 21.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been a limited run.
I knew it wasn't going to be around for very long. So when it came out, I saw like four movies in one day.
Oh, that's right. That's the day you took off work.
And September 5, that didn't get a lot of love, but I saw that on that weekend, and that's just a great movie.
All right, Lee, actress in a supporting role. We got from A Complete Unknown, Monica Barbaro, Ariana Grande for Wicked, Felicity Jones for The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini, who looks wonderful. She's in Conclave, and Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. So who do you think will win in that category for supporting role?
I think it's going to be Zoe Saldana. Although I'd be very happy if Isabella Rossellini took it, but it's a strong lineup.
Mm-hmm. If Ariana Grande wins, it's going to be scary because I could just see her all 73 pounds of her just melting on stage.
Every time I see her, I'm struck by two things. One, what an amazing talent, what an extraordinary voice she has. And two, I want to force feed her something.
Stop it. No.
And I'm not trying to body shame it. I'm sorry. She looks unhealthy to me.
She's tiny.
She is teeny tiny, yeah. Yep. What are your choices in that category, Ron?
I would go with, I agree again, Zoe Saldana. I think it was fantastic. I hope that she does win. I think there's an outside chance, though, that Ariana Grande wins.
That's what I'm thinking, too, because of the buzz that I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to comment just for one second on one of the categories. We haven't seen this, but I'm so curious about it. In the animated feature film category, there is a movie
Steve,
called...
I watched Flow today.
And?
It's wonderful.
It's great.
Okay,
yes.
Because we recorded it, and we haven't watched it yet, but just from everything I've seen, wow, it looks great. So you both love it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, super sweet, very sweet.
We'll watch it when we get home in the morning.
And for anybody who hasn't seen it, as I understand, and correct me because we haven't watched it, no dialogue.
No dialogue. These are not talking animals. It's a, you know, they're very lifelike, and they don't pretend to have emotions, but they kind of do. It's very original, and it's like stop action motion. It's very creative and a beautiful little story.
You know, Rob, one thing I loved about that was the neatnik. I forget what animal he was, but he kept piling all the trash into that basket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that at 3 o'clock in the morning when we get home. Yes, with some chicken soup. All right, we're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to talk about the director category for the Oscars. The broadcast is not tomorrow, but it's on Sunday, March 2nd. And right now we're talking with Brother Lee here on WGN.
Kang and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking Academy Awards, and as we are doing that, we're playing some of the original song nominees. This was Abraham Alexander and Adrian Quesada, Like a Bird, from Sing Sing, which looks like such an interesting movie.
Oh, very, very good.
Yes. Lee, before we get into the director's category, costume design, one of my favorite categories. And in this category, you've got a complete unknown, which I have to chuckle at because I'm like, I see every outfit that I wore in a complete unknown. In Conclave, Gladiator 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked costume design. Well, I'm thinking Wicked hands down. Lee, what's your take on that?
I'm with you. It was such a pretty picture in terms of the costumes and the sets. They're going to give Wicked something, and I think that'll be it.
If Nosferatu won, I'm sorry, that would be laughable. You have to admit.
Well, I think that there was a great art direction in that movie. That was, I think, there were wonderful costumes in that. But it can't compete with Wicked.
No. You're talking dark and daylight.
Right. Literally. Absolutely.
Yes. So would you agree that Wicked looks like that will be at least a nod for that
It would
movie?
Be a shock if anything else won,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. In the director's category, you have Sean Baker for Anora, Brady Corbett for The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, James Mangold, Emilia Perez, Jacques... How do we pronounce his last name?
Arad? It's French.
But there's a D, two D's in there. Anyway.
Yeah, you go for it.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you.
The substance is Coralie Farge,
I think you're right, yes.
Yes. Okay, Lee, that is a very important category. That's why they save it toward the end. So who do you think is going to walk with the Oscar for this year?
I think it's going to be Brady Corbett for The Brutalist, although if Anora gets some steam going, it could be Sean Baker. I also like James Mangold for A Complete Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be Corbett.
Yeah. Ron, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's just so epic, the Brutalist is, and it's so unlike any other movie. But again, Lee's right. There are three deserving directors in there, and I would not complain if either of them won. I just don't know which has the best mojo right now to pick it up. Maybe Anora, maybe Sean Baker. It was a really, really seamless movie for me, and the editing and the cinematography, they all worked together to tell that story, and unlike other movies. But the you know, the epic scope of The Brutalist, I think, maybe overwhelms all the others.
Mm-hmm. I just like to think that the people who vote on these movies actually watch them. That they're not
waiting,
you know, they're not deciding, well, you know, I really like Adrian and it's been a while since he won, you know, and so they.
And I'd like to hope that the people who vote on the movies are voting on the movie they actually liked, not the movie that got the most campaigning before the voting.
Yeah, true.
Right.
Well, Lee, I want to.
Well, you know, the Academy has expanded its membership greatly in the last few years, and the good thing about that is they're more receptive to small independent films and films from other countries.
Right.
The not so good thing is sometimes I think if they perceive a film as edgy, it doesn't need to have a lot of other merits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we wrap up, I want to spend a few minutes and talk about The Complete Unknown. A Complete Unknown with Timothy Chalamet. On paper, when I first heard about that, I went, what? I don't know about you guys, but I just couldn't wrap my mind around it. And what a surprise. What do you think, Lee?
Oh, he was great in that. And his singing was fine. He nailed that part. He's having a great career.
He really is. And on Saturday Night Live, as the host as well as the musical guest, the songs that he chose, these rather obscure Dylan songs that he chose to perform, I think it really shows how, you know, he's serious about paying respect to Dylan.
And if we can believe the publicity, apparently he didn't know anything about playing guitar. Basically, prior to COVID, COVID was a long enough break where he learned how to play guitar and learned how to dig deep into Dylan's catalog and learned how to sing some of these songs.
But Steve, while you're force-feeding Ariana Grande, I will do the same thing for Timothy Chalamet.
I agree. We saw him on the Graham Norton show, and honestly, when he walked out, I thought, if the audience breathes too hard, he's going to fall over. I mean, it's just crazy. And his clothes are just kind of hanging on him. And he was sitting next to Coleman Domingo, and he actually grew up living in the building with Coleman and did not know it until they were sitting there on the couch.
Wow. I didn't know
it was
that.
A crazy story.
Okay, we got about a minute and a half, so let's jump to Best Picture.
Yes. All right. Lee, what are you going for?
Oh, Brutalist.
Okay. Ron?
Yeah, I think The Brutalist will do well. I think Brutalist will win, although I would not be disappointed if either Anora or A Complete Unknown, but A Complete Unknown is such a dark horse. That would be a surprise. That would be a shock.
And Lee, I've got to know, what's the menu for Sunday night? Because you always have these fabulous choices.
And this is not for this Sunday night, but Sunday night watching the Oscars.
Just a simple fare, some caviar, some triple cream brie, you know, some pâté.
And what's your beverage of choice?
Your beverage of choice is?
Ice cold gin.
All right.
He does it right.
It sounds fabulous.
Ron, is that the same fare for you, Ron?
I'm going to have pizza and a couple of old fashions, but I'll enjoy it.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for talking movies with us. And Lee, we'll see you soon. Thank you for spending some time with us. And folks can link to your book from our Facebook page. And Lee's book is entitled Safe Inside. Thanks a bunch.
Take care, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
And we will also put up a link to Lee's blog, which is a wonderful blog.
Yes.
And again, I rave about him not just because he's my brother, but he's an incredible writer.
And his checks have cleared every single time he's given us one. So.
That's true. we're going to segue to the world of cyberspace with Patrick Crispin. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. By the way, before we segue to some cyberspace tricks. Thank you to we've had a significant amount of people that were applauding my brother Lee and saying, mm-hmm. could we have him on a little more? And we're going to have to talk to him.
Yes.
We'll have to talk to his agent.
See if we can meet his price.
Yes. Right. But now we're going to segue into the world of cyberspace. And
oh boy,
is there a bunch of things to talk about?
Yes.
With the man who is the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. That will be Dr. Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick.
Wait, we're talking about cyberspace? I thought we're talking about Pokemon.
Okay, since we're going to go there, I want the picture of Joseph with the black guitar, with the black outfit. I need this. I need to see
this.
We'll
make it happen. We'll make it happen.
Because I don't know. I think we shared with the kids that my work with Joseph has had its effect because now Joseph is wearing all black.
He was going to a very fancy affair this evening, right, Patrick?
We went to his cousin's quinceañera, and it was very fancy, and he was dressed head to toe in black. He did not wear the tie, which, again, is very much like Steve.
Cool.
Steve doesn't wear ties either.
See, my work is done. Yes.
That is so true, because seeing the picture of him with a tie, I went, that's a rare time for Steve. So, yep, that's good. Yep. Boy smart.
He chose not to wear the tie tonight, but we had a wonderful time. He's now in the other room playing Gorilla Tag on the VR headset.
Well, I've got to tell you that when folks found out that you were on the show tonight, we had a couple of texts that said, can you please ask Patrick to talk about this new iPhone 16? What's this all about? And this is an iPhone that does not cost over $1,000, right, Patrick?
Yeah, it's basically sort of the new entry-level iPhone. It's the iPhone 16e. Think of the E as standing sort of like for essentials. And it's a starting price of about $599, which is higher than the $429 price of the last iPhone SE, which is what this is replacing. But it's still cheaper than the $799 iPhone 16, which is the sort of flagship phone that's out there. So it's sort of an entry-level phone. $599 is not cheap, but for a really good phone, it's also pretty good. And it's got the new A18 chip from Apple. And that's a really good thing. So if you really were thinking of, I don't know, do I want to upgrade my phone? Should I do it? The new iPhone 16e, which just got announced, it's, again, a good entry-level phone in the iPhone line. It's got an OLED screen. We know how Steve loves the OLED screen. So it's 60 hertz. So it's going to be a really nice screen that's going to be deep black and bright. The case is only available in black or white. So you don't get the funky colors that you get with the regular iPhone 16. But who cares? It only has a single camera on the back. The iPhones for a long time have had like three cameras on the back or a camera bump. This just has one camera. It's a 48 megapixel camera. It does digital zoom, but the reality is digital zoom's not as good as regular zoom. But as long as you're not zooming in a lot, a 48 megapixel camera is perfectly fine. The other thing is the old iPhone SE had this thumbprint reader, this home button that you'd have to use to unlock it. They got rid of it. So now it is like all the modern iPhones where it's no touch ID, it's using face ID. So when you turn on your phone and sort of hold up the phone, it says, oh, I recognize you as Johnny, you can get in. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I don't know who you are, you can't get in. There is one thing that's missing, and it is a big thing. It does not have MagSafe. What is that? Well, MagSafe is Apple's implementation of the Xi-2 charging standard. And it has magnets built into it, and you can do wireless charging on a Xi-2 called MagSafe charger. It doesn't have it. So if you want to charge this, you need to go either get a case that has MagSafe built into it, or you can just plug in USB-C into the bottom. So if MagSafe is a deal breaker, you want to go and get the latest 16 and not the 16E. What's really new about this, and this is where the really exciting part about this is, Apple back in 2019 spent about $1 billion buying Intel's modem division. And the reason why was they've been spending tens of billions of dollars paying Qualcomm for the modems that are going into the Apple devices. And Apple kind of says, I'd rather not pay you. I'd rather make my own chips. So this is going to be the first iPhone that has its own Apple-designed modem inside of it. The question is it good? And we don't know. This is for Apple's first design of making their own chip. It does do 4G. It does 5G, sub 6 gigahertz. It does do satellite. We'll talk about satellite in a minute, also in a different way, and in GPS connectivity. It doesn't have the millimeter wave 5G. If you, for those of you who are kind of going, what the hell are you talking about, Patrick? If you are in an urban area, there's this millimeter wave 5G that's available like in downtown Chicago.
Right.
And
right.
It's super duper fast. But if you're out anywhere other than like next to the big tall buildings, you don't have it anyhow. This 6E does, or 6, 16E does not have millimeter wave 5G. You'll need to get the latest version for that. But the nice thing about the C1 modem is because Apple's designed it from, they're saying it's 25% more power efficient. It may not be as fast as the Qualcomm modems. This is sort of Apple's first venture into it, but it's really exciting. If you're really interested and it's like, I've got to have MagSafe, or I'm not willing to take a risk on this new Apple C1 modem, the new iPhone 17s usually come out in September. That's when you're going to see the latest ones. But if you're looking for a good entry-level phone, starting price of $599, the new 16 is really, really cool.
Well, the two real buzz points that I've been hearing over the past couple of days are A, the price point, and B,
yep,
the chip.
Yep. That Apple C1 modem is just exciting, and the fact that Apple is trying to make their own modems instead of having to lease one from Qualcomm, this is their first time doing it. But you know what, Apple, when they did the M1 chips in their laptops, just absolutely changed the world, and their laptops were fantastic forever and just super, super fast and really sipped batteries, so you can end up having like all day use on a laptop. Well, they're now going to start doing it with the modems that go into your mobile devices. So theoretically,
what kind of difference would this make in how often you have to charge your phone?
Well, it depends on how often you use your phone, but you might actually get a couple more hours of batteries because, again, this is 25% more power efficient. So if you're using the modem all day long, you get, and you know, one quarter more of use out of out of what you're doing. So that's a couple hours.
Because you know how impressed we've been with these Mac Airs. I have never, ever seen a laptop computer that goes for a week. When I'm using it regularly, and do you really want to recharge it now? It's still got 20% left. Well, yeah, I will, but I don't need to.
A listener from 847 area code says, all of Grant Park is covered in millimeter wave. O'Hare will soon be covered, if not already. Many venues like the United Center are now covered with millimeter wave, and this is where it's popular. And
but again, it's really densely populated places of what we're talking about. So if you are out in Skokie, you're probably not going to have it. If you're out in Galena, there's not going to be millimeter wave 5G. You're downtown, you're in the United Center, you're in the, you know, the McCormick place. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really, really, really fast. Honestly, it's still going to be good.
And the listener says, you're right, millimeter wave is super fast, but it only covers an average of 2,500 feet per antenna. So you'll find it on many street lights, street light posts downtown. A listener asked if you would just take a moment and talk a little bit more about the MagSafe case that you can get for charging purposes.
There are some cases that you can connect, and I'll send you the information. We can post it in the show notes that allow you to take a phone that doesn't have MagSafe and actually have MagSafe go to the case, and then the case is then plugged into the phone.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And another listener says, can you buy the 16E and then upgrade it? Like buy a $700 phone and then juice it up.
Yeah, you. Well, I mean, when you say upgrade it, there's nothing you can do to open it up and fix it or do anything in it. But you can go to your carrier and say, okay, I've had this thing for a certain amount of time. I'd like to trade it in and get the next version. You're going to lose a little bit of trade-in value off of it. And what you'll discover is that as you buy the phone, you're going to lock you into like a 2 or 3 year contract now. In fact, I think Verizon's now requiring you 3 years. So you're kind of stuck with that. So you can, but you're going to take a haircut on the trade-in.
So again, you can't buy the $599E and then add stuff to it to make it the equivalent of a 16.
No, because this is, and not to get too technical, these are binned chips. So these were chips that were originally designed for the 16 or the later 17. They tested them and said, oh, you know what? We were making a 32-cylinder engine, and it turns out that a couple of cylinders of the engine don't work. You know what? Let's make a 20-cylinder engine, but what we'll do is we'll just turn off 12 of the cylinders. You can't turn them back on. So you're getting a lesser version of the 16, a fewer cores, but you're not going to notice a difference.
One of the things that has been a major story over the past week or so is T-Mobile and Starlink. Patrick, what's the 411?
Back in 2022, T-Mobile announced something called their Coverage Above and Beyond initiative. And what they're basically saying is, hey, we're going to kind of partner with SpaceX's Starlink and make that available to T-Mobile users. If you watch the Super Bowl, you've heard that that service is now live to customers in the United States. Key point, United States only right now. Vodafone's saying it's going to come out in parts of Europe later on this year, but U.S. only. And service is now in beta. Users can sign up online. You can participate. There's no cost until July. You just have to have an Android phone or an ISO 18.3 device or a newer iPhone. And here's the key thing. You don't need to be a T-Mobile customer. If you're an AT&T customer, if you are a Verizon customer, if any of the other mobile companies, as long as you've got a newer phone, you can sign up for the T-Mobile Starlink coverage. And if you are out in an area where there is no cell coverage, you will have the ability during the beta to be able to send and receive text messages with anybody, not just with emergency responders, but you can send text messages to anybody and it will go from your phone in the middle of a field in the middle of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And it goes up to the satellite, goes down from the satellite, and then comes to the person. After July, though, this service is not going to be free. So you're kind of helping them test it right now in beta mode.
Yeah.
After July, if you're a T-Mobile customer, it's $15 if you don't sign up for the beta, $10 if you do.
Is that a month?
Per month.
Okay.
But if you sign up for T-Mobile's priciest Go 5G Next plan, which is already about $108 a month, it's included in the net. If you are on Verizon, AT&T, all of the other service providers, you can pay an extra $20 a month to keep the satellite connection.
So you don't lose your Verizon or AT&T service.
You don't lose your Verizon.
Adding this to it.
It's really, if you're ever going to be for a long time out in the middle of nowhere and you just know there is no cell tower, you know that there's just no way that you can send or receive messages, you sign up for this thing. If you have a cell phone from the last 4 years, it's going to work with this. This is what's called a direct-to-cell satellite service, meaning that no special hardware is required. You don't have to have a special satellite phone, really just a compatible phone. So Apple 14 or later, Google Pixel 9, Samsung Galaxy A14 or later, the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip, the Revel 7, including Pro. Now, there are some limitations. You need to be aware of this. Three of them. One, only supports text messaging right now. So you can't make telephone calls, and it's only going to work in dead zones right now. In other words, a place that you just cannot connect to any other cell tower. However, voice, picture messaging, and other data services are expected later, maybe July. So right now you can only do text messaging to satellite, but eventually you will be able to do telephone calls to satellite. It only works in the U.S. only, even if you are a U.S. person. If you end up going into the middle of the Pacific, not going to work. You end up going into Canada, not going to work. Going into Mexico, it's not going to work. It's U.S. only, and it costs money after July. But if you're interested in signing up for this thing, you can try it right now for free until July, and after that, you have to pay money in July. Do remember, you do not, if you have an iPhone, Apple for the longest time provides free access to GlobalStar that lets you send text and emergency messages to first responders. You can't text your wife or your husband or something like that, but you can, if you're outside a cellular range, send a text message to a first responder. This takes it to the next level where you would be able to make a telephone call after July or a text message right now to anybody. Free of charge until July. After July, you're going to have to pay for it unless you are a T-Mobile subscriber on the Go 5G Next plan, or you're willing to pay extra money for it.
Mm-hmm. So this is beta. So are they going to have a cutoff for people to sign up? Or, I mean, is this, if this interests you, you better sign up now?
If you sign up by the end of February, you'll save some money come July. If you sign up later after July, you're going to pay an extra $5 a month on it if you're a T-Mobile subscriber. So it's $15 if you don't sign up for the beta after July, $10 if you do, and you have until the end of February to sign up for the beta. If you're at AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile's not going to do you any special discounts or anything. It's free until July. After that, it's $20 a month.
Okay, so if you sign up for the beta, after the beta ends, are you automatically in? Do you have to opt out, or how does that work?
Yes. Yep. You're basically signing up saying, I'm going to use this free. Here's my credit card information. They'll start billing you for $20 a month after July. Okay. But you can cancel it. Mm-hmm. Again, in Chicago, you don't need this. You've got cell towers everywhere. You're fantastic. If you're not, if you're in the middle of some place where you're not on the interstate, but off the interstate, and you don't have good cell coverage, and you really want to make sure that you're always going to be connected, this is actually kind of interesting. The ability to do direct-to-cell satellite service is exciting. It does use Starlink, so just be aware there are some questions about Starlink and the world future that we're living in.
Yes.
Just be aware of that. But it's a really exciting time. You don't have to go buy a light phone anymore. You can just use the phone that's in your pocket as long as it's been made within the last 4 years and it's got the latest software.
And you're in the U.S. Okay.
You got to be in the U.S.
Dr. Patrick Crispin is our guest. He joins us twice a month to talk tech. And we will come right back here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. They just don't write them like that anymore.
Excuse me? You're moving your mouth. I don't hear a word you're saying. Oh, I guess I have to turn my headphones up.
We are talking all kinds of cyberspace goodies with Dr. Patrick Crispin. Patrick, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Actually, it's easiest to find me over on Blue Sky. Just search for Patrick Crispin. I'm over there.
As everyone should be on Blue Sky.
That's right.
Let's segue to Google Chrome browser. They're doing some some interesting, quote, interesting things.
Browser fingerprinting? What?
Yeah, there's an old saying that's been going around for a long time, which is, if you don't pay for the product, you are the product.
Yep.
And what that means is that we don't pay Google anything, or at least most of us don't. So Google's making most of its money not from us paying Google any money, but from advertising. Google is, in effect, selling ads and actually talking to companies and saying, would you like to go and advertise to a certain number of people? And what they're doing is they're tracking you as you go around on the internet to find out more about you so that they can have more targeted ads for you that are very specific for what you're interested in. Now, in the past, these ads really relied heavily on cookies. And we've talked about cookies a long time. These are little text files that get stored on your computer. It's really just nothing but text. And it allows the third parties to figure out who you are and track where you go on the internet. The thing is, a lot of us don't really care for cookies that much. You and I and everybody else has had the ability to manage or delete them. And what ends up happening, for example, you talk about how you go through a cleanup thing every week or so and just remove these tracking cookies.
Super anti-spyware. I use it at least once a week.
And the thing is, as these cookies get deleted, it makes it more difficult for the folks at Google to track you on the internet and sell advertisements, and therefore they need to deal with it. The other thing is, Apple back in 2021 released something called App Tracking Transparency. And it's a policy that came out in iOS 14.5. And it said, you know what? You cannot go and track Apple users without their permission. We're just not going to let you do it. You have to give the people the option of saying, yes, you can track me. And when Apple did that, it destroyed advertising because all of these people who are tracking you on the internet ended up kind of not being able to track you because last time I heard initial reports when that first came out, 96% of the United States kind of said, No, I don't want to be tracked. The numbers are now down to about 50% are saying, yes, track me, and 50% are saying no. It's about 44% of people in the U.S. say, yeah, you're okay to track me. But again, 44 means that 56% of the U.S. isn't being tracked or don't like it. So cookies are becoming less effective. Google needs to find a way to pay their bills. Uh-huh. They've got to find a way to track you so they can continue to sell targeting ads. And that's where something called browser fingerprinting comes in. And it really is just your browser automatically collects various data points about you and your browser, kind of your operating system, your browser type, screen resolution, installed plugins. This is actually information they've had for a long time, and they can use that to create a new identifier. You can actually see this information yourself. This is, by the way, nothing new. This is nothing really scary. This has been there forever. It's actually how transmission control protocol, internet protocol works. This information has to be shared so that the browser knows what is to be shared with you. But there's a website I've used for a long time. I love the name of this. It's called ipchicken.com. Mm-hmm. If you go to ipchicken.com, it will actually tell you information about you and your browser and where you're located. You can get more information if you go to whatismyip.com. And there are a bunch of other different websites out there. But if you go to ipchicken.com, and I'll do that right now, and just kind of look it up for me, and if I go to ipchicken.com, it shows, one, my internet protocol address. It has to have this information because that's how the website knows how to get back in touch with me and gets the information. It shows me the name address that I have, and it shows me that I'm a Spectrum customer. It shows that I'm connected on port 54446. It also shows me that I'm using Mozilla. I'm using a Macintosh. I'm using Intel Mac OS 10.515, and what version of Mozilla I'm actually using, and it's Firefox. And it's all this information is available to you. Well, it turns out that it's not too difficult for Google and advertisers to use this information and kind of say, oh, that's Patrick. Or, mm-hmm. oh, that's Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
So this combination of data points, which is public information, it's every time you connect to a website, you're sharing it, does create sort of this unique and stable fingerprint that is going to remain consistent from browsing session. So it's a reliable tool for tracking you over time. Why do I talk about this now? Well, Google, for the longest time, has basically said, browser fingerprinting, bad, terrible. We're not going to support it under no circumstances. Ah. Can you do browser fingerprinting? It's terrible. No. You cannot do this.
Until
February 16th, when Google said, you know what? Browser fingerprinting is a really good idea. We should probably be doing browser fingerprinting. So if you are using Chrome, you just need to be aware that Google is technically tracking you on the internet. I will put it aside. You're concerned about Google. Everybody concerned about Google. Nobody talks about your ISP, who literally knows everything yep. you're doing, not just your browsing, but your emails and all the other stuff. And nobody pays attention to the ISPs, but okay, we'll pay attention to Google here. Think about the concerns with browser fingerprinting. Fingerprinting is persistent. The data points that are being collected about you are stable, so it is a reliable tool for this. You can actually identify people with about 90% accuracy on this. And cookies, remember, cookies, you had the ability to go in and manage or delete cookies.
Yeah.
Fingerprints are operating in the background. There's no way to turn it off, and you can't prevent it.
But does this look like we will have fewer cookies?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a good thing Google's because we'll have fewer cookies, but the bad thing is we can't really make what's happening with fingerprinting go away.
Exactly. So the options here, Google Chrome, there is no way to turn this off. Google fingerprinting is now enabled by default. If you are concerned, it's like, I don't want to do this, you can think about going to something like Mozilla Firefox, which is not built on the Chrome mm-hmm. engine or Chromium, or Brave. Those are really the only two that I can think of.
Yeah.
If you use any Chromium-based products, Google's going to be tracking you. Just be aware, this is a big change that Google's doing. And again, they're getting out of the cookie business, but it's not because they realize, oh, we need to stop tracking people. It's like, oh, we can't track you as well as we used to be able to. We got to find a better way to track you so they can sell you more ads.
And again, if you glazed over at some of this, we will be posting Patrick's show notes on our blog after the show.
But the bottom line is we really can't do anything about what's happening with fingerprinting, if I understand.
Other than using a different browser.
Right.
Other than using a different browser, if you're using Chrome, Google is knowing what you're doing. But again, remember, your ISP knows everything you're doing as well.
But
question. Is it beneficial to Windows users to use Safari?
I'm trying to remember. I think Safari actually is still Chromium-based.
Oh.
So
okay.
Yeah, I'll check on that, but I think Firefox and Brave are the only ones that come to mind that it like saying, no, I'm not going to use Chromium.
And so again, to answer a question that I have and listener also has, this also affects what I'm doing on my phone.
Yes.
Okay, so
Just before we take a break, maybe a dumb question, but that's never stopped me before. If you're a Linux or Unix user, any difference?
It really depends. And by the way, I checked. I apologize. I forgot that Safari is built on WebKit, so you can use Safari. It's not using Chromium. Chrome, Edge, Brave, Opera, they all use Chromium, which is Google's browser engine. Mm-hmm. Firefox uses Gecko, which is Mozilla's browser engine. If you are using any of the operating systems, really, as long as you're not using something that is Chromium, which is Google's browser engine, so you aren't using Chrome, you aren't using Edge, you aren't using Brave, you aren't using Opera, you don't have to worry about this. I still, honestly, I'm not sure this is a bad thing. The ability to have targeted ads for me, if the ads actually do target me and really are based on who I am and what I want, I'm not sure that's a terrible thing. And it's in return, I get the ability to get, you know, stuff for free. So it's a trade-off.
But it's nice to have the ability to make that decision.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We had a couple questions before we segue into hacking and other
yes.
things.
Yes. A listener from 847 says, Patrick, what about DuckDuckGo when we talk about browsers that are okay?
It depends on your operating system. If you're using iOS and Mac, that's actually using WebKit, which is Apple's engine. So no problem. If you are using an Android or Windows device, DuckDuckGo browser is actually a fork of Chromium and could technically be tracking.
Hmm. Okay. Again, just sneaking a couple questions here. We always mention about follow us on Blue Sky. A listener from 262 area code says, why does Blue Sky ask for a credit card number to create an account?
They don't.
It doesn't. So you might have accidentally gone to somebody who's created a fake website. If you go to bsky.app, that's bsky.app instead of bluesky.com, but bsky.app, there is no credit card required for this.
Okay. And we'll be sure to repeat that.
And but all of us are on Blue Sky.
I was surprised. I linked to a Reddit thread that went on forever with people saying, well, it asked me for a credit card. I was like, whoa. And then, of course, there for every person that said that happened to them, you've got dozens of people saying, no, 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 you've gone to the wrong place if that's what happened
to you. Somebody's created a fake Blue Sky page or, yeah.
And I think part of the problem could be that people aren't used to looking for a Blue Sky app. Which is
right. Bsky.app. Yep.
And it's sometimes too, if you put in Blue Sky, you get the Blue Sky credit card. The actual credit card company comes up. And that could be confusing too. And that is not one word, that is Blue Space Sky.
Right.
So again, it's different. All right. Where do we go from here, Patrick?
Did you want to jump out before we jump to hacking? You had some notes about some older ad blockers being disabled in Chrome.
Yeah, just a follow-up. We've talked about this forever and ever about how Chromium, and especially Chrome, if you're using uBlock Origin, that when Google started rolling out something called Manifest Version 3, which is a new sort of rules that let's say this app can do certain things, that uBlock Origin was going to stop working. uBlock Origin is starting working. So if you're using uBlock Origin, which is my favorite ad blocker, just be prepared. It's not going to work in Chrome much longer if it hasn't been killed already. Google's been promising this for a long time. And actually, I love uBlock Origin so much. When I found out that Manifest Version 3 was coming out, I left Chrome and just went over to Firefox just because I want to keep uBlock Origin.
Yeah, Firefox is our default browser and has been for quite some time.
So just switch to Firefox.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick, before we get into... oh, excuse me.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
She's getting squeaky.
I feel like I am. A listener from a 312 area code said, Patrick, do you have any thoughts on why YouTube is shadow banning and deleting so many comments? Their algorithms are getting it totally wrong so often, and there's no recourse on the part of the poster. The amount of censorship is coming up to the level of communist governments.
I'm with you up to a certain part. The thing is that there are some AI bots out there which are scamming and spamming into the YouTube comments, and YouTube has tried to find a way to get rid of the fake comments. And sometimes they go too far. I don't think it's because they're going and saying, I don't want to have anybody who's a fan of the Chicago White Sox posting things. I'm going to delete their stuff because I'm go Cubs. That's not what they're doing. I just think that if you're seeing comments that are being deleted more often than others, it may be that just a false positive from YouTube saying, you know what, and YouTube's Google, by the way, they're just saying, you know what, I think they went a little too far, and you can actually contact YouTube. It's difficult, but you can sit there and say, no, I think you're falsely targeting these comments. It's not real. But go look in the comments of any YouTube video, and there is a lot of scams and a lot of spam and a lot of garbage and just really bad stuff there. And I that's why I kind of don't pay much attention to the YouTube comments anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as a YouTube user, you can delete comments if you have a YouTube page. You can go through, and we always take a look at the comments. Oh, and I'm segueing here. Speaking of that, we have two Ronnie Rice videos. We were busy with some other things. We haven't been able to put them up yet, but they will go up over the weekend.
And you thought of that because...
YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
It's on our YouTube page. Stephen Johnny YouTube page.
Yes. Okay, real quick, I'm going to sneak this in from 630 area code. I have two separate Facebook accounts now. I'd like to just make it one. Is there any way to combine them, or do I just have to give one of them up?
I don't know if there is a way. I can check during the break and see, and we'll report back.
And if you find it, please let us know, because we have... two accounts, two Stephen Johnny Show Facebook pages. One was created years and years and years ago. We don't use it. It was a kind of an accident because of trying to follow Facebook's instructions. So that's still there. I've been trying for a long time to find a way to delete it. So if that's possible, boy, I'd like to know about that.
So. I'll check during the break.
Okay.
And we should remind you that next week we don't start till 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are going to be here for an hour and a half show.
It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be like five hours of programming in an hour and a half.
It will be broadcast Museum Hall of Fame quality material.
You think?
I didn't say it would be good broadcast music.
Hall of Fame. They have that category of what not to do.
They have their best ofs and worst ofs. So,
oh, stop.
Well, I'm just...
There's always mediocre, middle of the road.
Okay, fine.
No, we'll be here wide awake.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What couple are you thinking of?
Yeah, showtime is 12:30 next week.
I think we better stop talking.
I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's caught a virus. Now I've got a cold. I got many friends in Nigeria. I got a girl in Belarus. They say, send me your credit card numbers and everything will be cool. I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's caught a virus, and now I've got a cold. I got firewalls and passwords, I got usernames and codes. But my laptop's got a virus, and now I've got a cold.
Steve King and Johnny Putman and WGN Radio, we're talking Cyberspace. We will get to hacking in just a second with Dr. Patrick Christman. But before we do that, I want to direct your attention to the Steve and Johnny Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And if you scroll down to where you will see Johnny posted a lot of pictures as we were driving in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But then scroll down under the comments and you will see our producer, Julian, posted a picture, a behind-the-scenes photo of a piece of Johnny's chocolate cake. Julian, you want to amplify the description?
Why, yes. I would like to add that it was very delicious. Now, Johnny told me you had slices of cherries.
Mm-hmm. Maraschino cherries.
Maraschino cherries and mm-hmm. cherry Coke. You can really taste it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's so rich, I had to take my time with it.
Now,
but
if you have your zits and plugs connected to your computers, it is scratch and sniff, so you can scratch and sniff on Julian's picture.
And because it is cherry chocolate, the important thing is you said it tastes nothing like...
cough medicine.
Nothing like cough medicine. That's...
that's high praise.
That's the best compliment. It tastes nothing like the cough medicine you used to gag on as a kid.
Now, Patrick, of course, because you have the Zitzen plug connected to your computer, you've been able to scratch and sniff?
Unfortunately, I have a Mac, so it only smells like an apple.
Okay.
That's right. Oh, and he only does one show a night. Yeah. We've got him for the encore now. So, yeah, we wanted you to stick around because, as always, there's something to talk about in the world of hacking. And this time around, it is a PayPal fish, correct?
Yeah, there's a PayPal fish. By the way, I found the answer to the Facebook question. The answer is no. You cannot merge accounts. What you'd have to do is manually delete one of the accounts.
Okay.
And yeah, so there is no way right now for you to merge the accounts. So sorry about that.
And if a family member passes away, a listener said, with a Facebook account, should you just shut that account down or what should you do?
You can try to memorialize it. However, you will discover, as we discovered with my father, who signed up as Bob Crispin, and his death certificate was Robert Crispin, that Facebook wouldn't accept that because Bob and Robert are not the same, and mm-hmm. therefore his website or his Facebook page is still alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh,
because Bob and Robert are not the same.
Yeah, because they require you to...
you have to get their death certificate. And
wow.
They required it for me. And it was like, well, his name is Bob and it says Robert, so we can't do it. And mm-hmm. it's like, are you really this stupid?
I don't recall the specifics, but I believe, doesn't Facebook offer the option of somehow you can... in your administrators, somehow there's a way that you can add somebody or do something so that they would have access to getting into the Facebook page if somebody passes away?
I believe so. There is a way to set up an alternative administrator, but it's one of those things. Obviously, we didn't do that before my dad died.
Yeah, and you have to think ahead. You have to be, okay, Mom, we need to be planning on the fact that when you die, your
Facebook
page is going to
be... Before we talk again, I'll see if I can look into that so people might want to do that.
Yeah. Okay, the PayPal fish is what?
Just be aware that you might be getting some emails from PayPal's official address, service@paypal.com. And it looks legit, and it turns out it actually is coming from service@paypal.com. And what it's going to say is, hey, there's a new shipping address that's a given, and you just bought a new thing. We're just confirming this. If you didn't, by the way, call this 800 number here on the bottom of this email, but... Yeah, and you're seeing it. It's from service@paypal.com, so you know this is not a fake email address.
Yeah.
And what the scammers are doing is they're going and adding their email address. It's a new secondary address on their own PayPal account. And then PayPal then sends a confirmation email about this new address to the scammer's email. And then they go and rewrite that and say, okay, well, there's a purchase confirmation or there's a phone number to call. And you see this and go, oh, well, it's from service@paypal.com. I looked in the header. It's this a legitimate email. and you believe that your account has been compromised, so you end up calling the number, and the scammers are then trying to get your information from that. What you need to do to protect yourself: if you receive an email from PayPal or pretty much anybody else, don't call the number provided in the email. Instead, log into PayPal, log into your credit card or whoever it is through the official website, not anything in that email, but actually go to the official website and check for unauthorized activity. There are ways for you to contact PayPal through their website if you log into PayPal, but if you get an unsolicited email, particularly something that's saying, oh, we're verifying that you purchased this thing, just be very, very careful. This is an example of somebody just found a hole in PayPal's ability for it to send out emails, and they're sending out fake emails from PayPal.com, and it's like, just be careful.
Let me hold you on this, because I want to go back to a conversation we had earlier with Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau. We were talking about scams and how people shouldn't click on the links in emails, and basically just what you were just talking about. Is there any, I think the answer is no, but I will ask the question, is there any browser extension that makes it harder for scam, phishing emails to be clicked on?
Not really, because again, there are so many different places that you can do purchases online, and it's really hard to keep track of that. And you want to make sure that you're, you know, like we were talking earlier with the YouTube comments being deleted, that you're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. And so there really isn't anything that you can add into your browser as an extension that's going to provide extra level of precautions, with the exception of a really good antivirus program. The antivirus program might be able to sit there and say, oh, I know this is a bad site. Most of the browsers have built into it the ability for you to say, or for it to warn you saying, this doesn't look right, you're going to the wrong website. But there's really nothing extra that you can add to your browser that's going to protect you.
I would also be fearful that you become complacent and just assume that it was going to take care of you, when the bad guys are working to work around that.
Good point.
And then they're after you. Okay, before we let you go, a listener says, I received an email about an MGM data breach and a group settlement. Is this legit or is it a scam? Now, there was an MGM data breach.
It very likely is real. You can go on and just do a Google search for MGM settlement, and the first links are actually going to be legitimate links. Again, I wouldn't click on the links in the email address, but find the law firm that's doing this. And there was a breach last year of MGM systems, and they're paying out. I know I got an email when we were at the Quinceanera from Blue Cross. Apparently, I'm getting some sort of settlement from them because California people pay too much in their Blue Cross insurance. I think I'm getting a dollar.
But it's legit. That's your point.
It's legit, but yeah. I know that by not clicking on the link in the email, I went and I searched online and actually searched different news sites as well.
Well, I found a cool site called openclassactions.com. And at openclassactions.com, I clicked on MGM data breach, and it looks like June 3rd is the deadline to put in your claim form, and the payouts will be $20, $50, $75, or $15,000. Proof is required, and they give you all the details at openclassactions.com. So there, that's my contribution to tonight's show.
I like that.
I will add that to Patrick's show notes when put that on the blog.
Sounds good. Patrick, thanks a million, as always. And folks, somebody said, well,
wait a minute, just one thing before we let Patrick go. Patrick, will you share, this is a classic example of modern technology, Years ago, Johnny and I get married. We're buying some furniture. We bought this huge couch. I mean, we called it the Starship Enterprise. It was one of these couches that it curved around the corner. And
they had to take the arms off to get it in the house. But,
and that's the key point here. We had movers who had to bring the couch in. Now, Patrick just got a new couch this week. You didn't have movers bring it, did you, Patrick?
Well, and grumble, no. It was one of those things where we went to a company called Love Sack.
Love Sacks.
Insert punchline here. and you can go and get basically a sectional couch.
A huge sectional couch.
And you can basically say, okay, I want this number of backs, this number of arms, this number of bases, and they ship it to you in flat pack boxes, and then you put it together. And the nice thing about it is it's completely customizable. We installed it, you know, a couple hours, put it all together, and then set it up and said, you know what? That little part over here is too close to the TV. Let's move it over here. And we were completely able to rearrange our furniture. And we this replaces this huge couch I had. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been to Restoration Hardware and you saw the big leather couches that they have in Restoration Hardware and said to yourself, who would be stupid enough to buy one of those couches? Hi, my name is Patrick. I actually had one of those stupid couches.
But you know,
I thought it was wonderful because I'm 6'6", and it was great. Nobody could sit in this thing because it was so big. And now we have a real size couch, which, you know, oh well.
But I'm looking at the boxes. I
cracked up because Christine sent us a picture of this new guy, and I thought, wow, what a cool couch. Followed by the picture of Patrick and Joseph standing next to what
stacks.
Looks like 20
14 boxes.
14.
If you can imagine, like, really, really big pizza boxes. That's what they all look like. And I thought, the hell? I'm not putting that together.
It took a while, and it took a couple hours. I'm glad we did it. And Christine didn't do anything for the last couple seconds where she was helping us put the covers on the back.
Someone has to manage.
She was praying, as I understand. She was praying really hard that this would come together. And didn't Joseph say at one point, oh, this is Build a Couch 101.
Pretty much.
And I love the picture you sent us of Foxy, who has found his place on the couch.
In the corner of the couch, yes. Well,
we have a Chihuahua mix named Foxy, and he just basically immediately said, okay, this is my perch.
Yep.
But at least it's big enough that you could have a whole bunch of dogs on that couch.
Please, no.
I know.
One is enough.
I hear you. Yes. Well, Patrick, thanks a million. We will talk to you soon. Hug the boy
Thank
for
you.
Us. Okay.
I shall talk to you soon.
Bye-bye now.
Throughout the show, at various points, we've been paying tribute to Jerry Butler, a legendary Iceman, who was a part of Chicago politics. We were very fortunate to become friends with Jerry. It was back in the mid-'80s. That we worked with Jerry on Mayor Washington's committee to bring the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to Chicago. And in the mid-90s, Johnny and I hosted a couple concerts out at the Star Plaza Theater in Merrillville. Beautiful theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they were concerts to raise money for the Neediest Kids Fund. Our friend Henry Farrig and Stormy Weather, they put together some CDs and we raised thousands of dollars for the Neediest Kids Fund.
And had a great time.
And it was a concert that had a lot of classic doo-wop performers. And on the second concert in 1997, Jerry Butler was a part of the show. And on Jerry's part of the show, he did, with his band, he did just about all of his hits.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a very special performance of a song that Jerry had recorded with the Emerson High School Choir.
From Gary.
And
this was a song written by Henry Farrig, too.
Yeah. It was called Little Red Shoes. The song was arranged by Daddy G, mm-hmm. Gene Barge,
who just passed away.
And we thought we'd let you hear a little bit of this. This is Jerry. The choir you will hear is the Gary Emerson High School Choir. Donald Kinsley is on guitar. And this song is available. It's on the Street Carols album. But it's one of those moments. And if you can imagine a full house, Jerry doing this with a choir, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place.
From the time that he was born, he meant the world to me. And not so long ago, you sat up on my knee. And as the years flew by, the joy of watching you grow, I knew there'd come a time when you would have to go. And at Christmas time, you'll always find my love beneath the tree. I'm reminded of the days making angels in the snow, childhood memories. And the little red shoes you wore. And as the years flew by, the joy of watching you grow, I knew there'd come a time when you would have to go. And at Christmas time, you'll always find my love beneath the tree.
Oh, boy.
We still get emotional listening to that.
I know.
And somewhere we have the audio from that concert. But if you can imagine the thousands of people in the Star Plaza Theater and literally...
And sniffling at the end of that.
I still sniffle
out
here.
I know.
It's extraordinary.
Gosh. So in the final stretch of the show, stay with us here on WGN.
You know you make me want to kick my heels up, throw my head back. Come on now, come on now. Don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah, 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 yeah. Say it right now, baby.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's a Julian Shout pick. Who is that?
A little bit of Otis Day in the Nights.
Uh-huh. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
All right. So well, it's time for some of our shout-outs. And boy, have we got people listening from all over the planet tonight.
And in fact, we're a few hours late. But I'm going to blame it on the Blackhawks because they ate up a half hour of our show tonight. And if they'd won, I'd be okay with it. But they didn't win, so eh.
And besides that, we can add a few more people now.
Oh, my. Can we ever? And a few more states. And I have visions of people who've, you know, they've been with us all evening, and now they've kind of drifted off, and suddenly they're going to hear their name on the radio and go, what? Who's calling me? Like, Jan Reinhardt is actually in the laboratory, so she's busy. She's not going to be snoozing in the laboratory.
Okay.
And Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook. Priscilla Gilbert Stegg is tuned in Joliet. Roger Camp is in Somerville, South Carolina. Chuck Gorch is in Burlington, Iowa. Elizabeth Blackmore Holland. Boy, that's a distinguished name. Elizabeth?
She should be on the Supreme Court.
Or just Elizabeth, no E on that. Elizabeth Blackmore Holland of Naperville. Jim Smith is listening. Pamela Welker, Mary Atkinson, Diane Vasquez, Brian Lefevre, our buddy Bobby Danos out in Sandwich, who is not $20 richer, because I did not bet on the Cubs Sox game with him. So there, because I said I could just mail you the money since I knew what was going to happen with the Sox. Also, our good friend and the best friend of this radio station, Chuck Snitchler from Hobart, Indiana, is tuned in. Greg Lord from Pin Green.
Chuck, who I think, didn't he send us a picture of his niece? His niece. Mm-hmm. Really cute picture.
Yeah. Pine Grove. No, there's no E there. It's P-I-N-G-R-E-E, Grove, Illinois. See, I'm much better at this 4 hours earlier. I really am. Debbie Hardiman's in Wisconsin. She's in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Well, it's Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Carrie Johnson's in Palm Coast, Florida. Robin Aiken's in Port Charlotte, Florida. And Mary Gold is tuned in Tinley Park with her hubby. Rita Reagy's in Fort Worth, Texas. Michelle Reitman is in Skokie. Roy Phillips is listening in Northwest Illinois. Peter Jukabowicz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Jan Reinhardt, I mentioned her, she's in the laboratory. She says, wish you could interview an infection control doctor concerning bird flu. It's a mutation of the H1N1 flu. It looks like it looks like scary stuff coming around. I don't want
We don't need more scary stuff.
I know. It's every day.
By the way, should we pause for a second and a half while everybody loudly screams?
Yes. Go ahead. Just scream. And we may start that club where we just get together and scream, and then we go out for donuts.
Yeah.
Nancy Nosek is in South Holland. Michelle Gregory is listening from my nice, comfy hotel room at Condell Hospital. Oh, Michelle, I got into that and didn't realize you were teasing, but I hope you get better. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville, Florida. It's really cold all over Florida.
Oh, boy. We were looking, because we're heading down to Florida in about 3 weeks. We'll be broadcasting from there for about a month. But the temperatures on our part of the Gulf Coast, right along the Panhandle, in Panama City Beach, like 23 degrees, freeze warnings, and for that part of the Panhandle, that's crazy. I would much rather be in Chicago when it's that cold, because
it's different
right off off the Gulf. The humidity, I mean, it goes through your bones.
It really does. We have a brand new Aldi's that's opened up down the road from us in Florida, and they have a grand opening, and our friends went to the grand opening because you got gift cards if you were the first 100 people there. They were wearing parkas at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, boots, hats, gloves. And people are looking at the pictures from around the country going, well, what are you doing dressed like that? It's 23. Yeah. It's really, really crazy. Okay, Sharon Malone is listening in Kenosha. Scott Cooper in Naperville. Mary McCaslin is in Rochelle, listening on her AM clock radio. Nancy Tomaszewski is in West Allis. Ryan Corcoran is in Madison, Wisconsin. Actually, all of Wisconsin is well represented tonight. Ed Wales is in the UP of Michigan. Larry Mann is in Miami. Beverly Goodall is listening on her clock radio. Michelle Fairfield is in Peoria. Margot Moore is in Albuquerque. Christine Failing in Plainfield. Sally Gunther Green is in Palatine. Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee. Rhonda Rogers in Lindenhurst. Mildred Bartlett is in Oregon, Illinois. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Celine Ellers is listening. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Helen Thomas is in K-Town. Edwin James is in, that's the Pingree Grove. I'll work on that, guys. I promise. Brian LaFever is in beautiful Bridgeport. Thank goodness. Chicago's listening. Eric Baum is in Wells Beach, Maine, sending us another lovely picture from his part of the world. This one looks like a Hallmark scene.
He sends us some of the best pictures.
This is amazing. I want to go there. Thanks to him, these pictures are so beautiful. In fact, people have chimed in and said, that looks like a painting or a postcard, and it does. Michael O'Connor is listening because he loves local live radio. Sandy McCumas is in Michigan City, Indiana. Rich Wade is in Troy, Missouri, back home. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake. Joan Smith is in Holland, Michigan. Sally Rock, best name on the radio, Sally Rock. And she would have to say, Rock really is my name if she was a disc jockey, right?
Mm-hmm. she would, you're right.
And then she could team up with Landecker. Mm-hmm. Yes. Donna Ferguson is in Hanover Park. Diane Vasquez, who is our wonderful graphics guru, who did another cutie for us. Enjoy a wonderful weekend. Donna Youngheim is listening. Let's see. Janice Korotobi is in Chicago. Linda Abremsky's in Plano. Jeffrey Welshens in Elkins, West Virginia. Patty Ford. I was listening in, and a lot of folks said, I got those texts, and I even got an email about the tollway scam. Thanks for talking about it. Just to remind us, don't click.
And I also want to say hi to our friend Pat Powers with KQWC Radio in Webster City, Iowa, who said he was going to make us part of his Saturday night. So,
yes.
Pat, thank you.
And what a sweet text from a listener at 602 area code said, I was listening the night that Jerry Butler was in studio with you and Steve played the guitar. Jerry sang He Will Break Your Heart, and it was amazing.
Somewhere I have a tape of that, and I got to dig it up because that was literally... It was the first time that I ever brought a guitar in and played with anybody on the air.
Yeah.
And
oh, quickly.
It's a memory I will never forget.
Well, what I like the fact is the texture reinforced that it wasn't a dream. It really happened.
Yeah.
You know? Hola, this is Luis Olivo from Cicero tuned in. He just checked in. Char and Brandon from Rockford just checked in. And, this listener says, does anyone on the Gulf Coast have a heating system? Well, we do. We have a really good heating system.
We have a combination of furnace, air conditioner. But sadly, a lot of our friends who have older houses don't have any heating systems in there.
Our neighbor's house is a lot younger than our house is, and she has no furnace. She actually rushed out to Lowe's and bought a fake fireplace because she said it makes her dog think that he's warm because he lays in front of it.
But that's cold.
No, I couldn't. No, no. If it's 23 degrees outside, you got to have some heat in the house. Yeah. She says, you just cover up. And I'm thinking, no, you just pretend like it's okay. That's what you're doing right now.
Oops, what am I hearing? Speaking of cold, ice. And the lights are flickering. The Zamboni is running.
Is.
And that means we're getting close to our last call. If you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And you could win some goodies from this here radio place if you haven't won anything within the past 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first. And you don't have to have anything pithy.
Nope. You can just stop by and say hi.
If you want to say...
You can comment on something that happened in the show tonight. You could tell us what's going on in your world. And can I just say, a listener just texted in with what may be my favorite name I've seen in a long, long time.
Okay.
Panay Skeleta.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm talking...
What are you talking?
Well, at first I thought, is that like a dish with a marinara sauce?
With a penne?
Yeah. But Skeleta, okay.
Sounds like penne Skeleta should be...
Skeleta.
An author or an artist?
Yeah.
I see Panay doing like Matisse kind of
paintings.
Tell
us who you are in Frankfort, Illinois. We need to know more about you.
What's your story, Panay?
Yes. And, by the way, Scott listens from South Dakota every Saturday night, but he just checked in because he probably didn't check in earlier because he feels like I always forget him. But I didn't tonight, Scott, so thanks for tuning in.
But if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. And again, you don't have to have anything pithy to say, but we've opened some lines. And
we got some cool prizes.
Yeah.
And as long as you haven't won anything in the past 2 months or the last 60 days, whichever comes first, Of course,
I think I heard that someplace.
That's kind of sneaky because February. Can we just drop the extra R in? It's February.
Feb.
Yeah. So if you haven't won anything in the last 2 months or the past 60 days, you too could win some cool prizes from us if you are our last caller. And it's just as simple as you just stop by and let us get to know you for a few minutes and like that. 312-981-7200, the final stretch of the Steve and Johnny Show on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late.
It's late!
Tomorrow is another day. My friend.
Another day.
All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Losing time. Head on out.
So let's go.
You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
You can leave your radio set here, but you can't stay here because we're going to be home having a grilled cheese and a bowl of chili. We decided that during the break.
Yep, that was usually during these break. This is where we decide what we're going to do here.
At first, it was, should we just have cereal and toast? And then I said, well, what about that homemade chili with a grilled cheese sandwich? And your eyes lit up and my tummy spoke. And I said, that's it.
Yes.
That's a given.
That was that big noise you heard. That was Johnny's tummy. By the way, that was the closing song. That was Red Peters. And no, we're not going to play all of it, but you can look it up on YouTube and you can hear it.
And what do we like to say? If you hear the whole song, then you'll never hear us on the radio again.
Yep.
That will be our parting shot.
Although, again, technically,
we could,
because we're in what is called safe harbor.
Yes. But this is the clue that you need to know if you hear the whole thing. Uh-oh. There won't be a Steve and Johnny Show next week. Okay, got a bunch of calls here. I'm going to go with line four. I'm choosing four out of everybody.
Okay, and line four would be George. Hey, George, where are you calling from?
Hey, Steve and Johnny, calling from Elgin.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute. George from Elgin, your address has the word bay in it?
Yes.
Okay, you sent us a card.
Is there something going on?
Well, yeah, the Valentine is to you too. It's not just me; it's to you too. Yes. Hi, George.
Hey, Johnny.
Well, it's nice to meet you. How sweet of you to send us a card too, and you've done that before. You and Bonnie, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'll let her know. She's asleep right now. She can't make it quite to the end of the show.
Well, I think you should march in and just stomp on the floor and wake her up right now.
Say, we're talking about you.
Yes.
Well, no, if we keep talking about her, her ears will be ringing. She'll wake up and go, wait, what's going on here?
So why are you up?
Yeah. Because you're on. That's our Saturday night is listening to you, the two of you from 9 to, well, I'm up usually until 2, but she usually is in bed by about 11. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our riveting conversation does that.
Well, she counts on George to give her all the details the next day, right, George?
Oh, yes.
You take notes for her the next day. I get it. I'm good with that. I thought it was very sweet. I just had a chance to look at your card, and you also mentioned the Crispins in your card, and that's very sweet, and they'll appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, Patrick makes our he makes my surname because I'm up when he's on, but it's always fun listening to Patrick. Well, and then Tom Appel's another favorite of mine too when you have Tom on.
Well, with Patrick, I always realize there's so much in the world that I don't know, and I'm glad that he's gentle as he's teaching us, because I'm like, oh my gosh, is this important? He'll say, yes, it is. You need to listen.
And one of the many reasons that we want Patrick on to talk about this stuff is because he breaks it down into real people speak.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can really relate to what he's talking about when he gets on the air. It's always interesting and always pertinent.
Well, good. He'll appreciate that too.
So, what's your game plan for Sunday?
Oh, Sunday, I think we're going to do, since the weather's warming up, do a few things outside maybe, and just kind of relax and have a little bit of fun.
Are you excited about baseball?
I am, because we have the Schaumburg Boomers close by here, and okay. I'm a big Boomers, big Boomers fan. Love going to the, there, the CZ. It's a lot of fun, and it's just a great ballpark to go to.
I'd like to get out to get to see a game like that. I've always wanted to get to see the Kane County Cougars at their park too.
Yeah,
that's another fun one too. It's been a few years, but they're always fun as well.
It's just fun to watch local baseball.
And they're not worried about robotic umpires or anything.
And pitch
like
clocks
that.
And
yes,
all that stuff.
Right. Well, George, I hope you have a wonderful week. You're always so great about checking in on text. And I know we're a little late tonight with our shout outs, but how perfect that you got to sneak in here as our last caller. We're going to send you one of our official WGN Radio t-shirts. And if you don't already have it, we've been talking tonight about our time doing shows like we did with Jerry Butler. We have a CD of music that was recorded by Steve when it was done live in our show over the years.
It's our Life After Dark CD.
And we're going to send you one of those, too. Okay?
Well, that would be great. I've always wanted one of those. I'll include it with my two. I've got two Spike Odell hats from when he was doing the caps and that.
So yeah.
That would be great. And
awesome.
And the BYB cookbook.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bite your butt. And people are going, what? Why are you saying that to George? Well, that was the name of, well, anyway.
That was the name of the sauce.
Hang on, George. Again, nice to talk to you tonight. And hug Bonnie for us. We appreciate you guys listening every week.
And Julian will get some information from you off the air. This has been a fast 5 hours. And again, we should, there are so many things. We bring a list of things. You know what we didn't mention?
What?
You can go to our blog and you can find Johnny's chicken cobbler recipe.
Yep.
That's on our blog, which is stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. We're also on Blue Sky. Please look for us on Blue Sky. We wanted to mention about how you can search for a brand and see its politics. Well, we'll talk about that next week.
And if you don't want to be on social media, please follow us on our blog, stephenjohnny.wordpress.com.
Right.
Sign up, scroll down to the bottom, sign up for it, and we don't sell your information.
No.
And you will just get a quick email saying something new's been posted.
And we update the... Well, this has been a busy week for the blog.
Yes,
because
it has.
We did your recipe. We did some Valentine's Day stuff.
We got Ronnie Rice videos coming up next week.
Yep.
All kinds of good stuff. So sign up.
And next week, we will not be starting until 12:30, but we will be here live. It'll be a short show, just an hour and a half show. But, okay, we're going to pause and let everybody scream for a second. Okay, I took care of that. Thanks for hanging out with us. Julian, thank you, and thanks to Bob and Ron and everybody else. And most importantly, thank you for hanging out with us.